ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തവേദാനന്ദ ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാനന്ദ സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീയദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോ പ്രേമനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരാംഗ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ. നമോഷുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിൻ നിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധരമവാർണവാൽ. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുഖ്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ. നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവ പാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തന്നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദി തരല ചാതേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദി കവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യൽസൂരയ. തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാ ധാന്നാസ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മ പ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവതം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമത്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭിഃ ശുശ്രൂഷുഭിഃ തൽക്ഷണാൻ. നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ ഈശോൽപദ്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ. ഇയം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുവേദമവേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയദയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അദ്യാൽപദീപമതിതിദീർഷദാന്തമൂന്ധം സംസാരിനാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണൂക്കുണിദാതൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരിന്ന കണികാഭികാഭികാവേ. നമോ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജ സ്ത്രീനാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാ സംഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീ ചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യവരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാകമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണിം ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്രാം യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപാം പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ ത്വത്രവേത്രൈകവാണൈ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേ വസുതം ദേവം തം സച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥ ജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈ ഹരഹ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാ ഭാരത മംഗജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുത സ്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമ ഉപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ Yesterday, we were talking about three kinds of Tyagam or Sanyasam. Sanyasam in Tamasam, Sanyasam in Rajasam, and Sanyasam in Sattvikam. We have seen the differences between the three, is it not? So, Krishna's first thing to understand there is that thing called Niyati. Remember that word? In the seventh verse, Krishna is talking about Niyati. Niyati means, in English you can translate as destiny or fate, whichever way you like to call it. But Niyati means that, Krishna says, Niyadasya tu sanyasam karmano nobha padyade moha tasya parityagam tamasa parigirtida. So, there are certain things when we have been given this body. With that body, certain karma has to go through, exhaust through this body. It has to get exhausted through this body. And that will come to us in a natural way. You will know that what is expected from this body to happen. So Krishna says to Arjuna, if you say to me, I'm not going to fight this battle, I'm going to renounce everything, Krishna says, it is not going to go away. That karma vasana inside Arjuna is not going to go away with that, if he gives up this fighting, gives up the battle. So therefore Krishna says to him, you will be forced to do that, and therefore that is why that voice is. That means when Arjuna said this to Krishna, that I'm going to give up everything and not willing to fight anymore, Krishna says, that's tamasam. It is. To Arjuna he is saying, Niyadasyadu sanyasam karmano noba badyade. Seventh verse. Mohal tasya parityagam tamasa parikirtida. And it applies to all of us. What the karmam that has come to us, that anything that we, karmam that is brought to us by our own destiny, it is meant to happen through this body and it must happen. That is why Krishna is saying here. So, and if you decide not to do it, Krishna's point is it's due to ignorance. Because you don't understand this principle, that how it works, how karma operates through the body. Because you're unaware of all that, Krishna says, that decision is coming from ignorance. Krishna says to Arjuna, that decision is coming from ignorance. That's why he says, tamasa parikirtida, tamasa parikirtida. Because what will happen is, if this body has been associated with a certain amount of karma, the energy to execute that karma is already packed up inside. There is a flow of energy from the body ready to do that karma. If you don't engage in that, it will get blocked inside. It will get blocks inside and it will create a lot of mental problems. Problems within the mind. That is not a good thing. Therefore, our problem is this. And if we don't allow to do the body what it is meant to do, that karma, then it will cause problems within oneself. If it comes out through that body, that means that niyati has happened. Niyatasyadu sanyasam. The niyati has happened, but our responsibility is only to execute that karma within the framework of dharma. That is important point. Within the framework of dharma. Not to develop any sangam there, attachment there, and no expectation of any results from that, phalecha. Krishna says that in the next verses. Because in the earlier verse he said that, isn't it? See that when Krishna gives the decision, he says, that is in the sixth verse, Edani abhidu karmani sangam tektva bhalani cha kartavyani di me partha, he says. Sangam tektva bhalani cha. No sangam, no attachment to the karmam, no expectation of the results from the karmam. Sangam tektva bhalani cha and kartavyani di me partha. And it should not be any kartrutvam inside. I am the doer. If all these things has happened in that niyati, then that karmam is perfect. That means niyati brings some karmam to us, and in that karmam, if there is no attachment, if there is no expectation of results, and if there is no ownership, I am the doer, then Krishna says, if that karmam is satyugam. Now you see that, how satyugam is different from rajasam and tamasam. Rajasam, tamasam, Krishna has explained there, isn't it? Tamasam means, he said there, mohani, mohaltasya parityagam tamasa parigirtida. That means, the karma that is meant to happen through this body, you are stopping that. According to the niyadi, a certain amount of karma must happen in this body. You are stopping that and taking sannyasam that. And that sannyasam is tamasam, that tyagam is tamasam, and it is also, karma is tamasam. That karma is tamasam. If it doesn't happen, get done. If it doesn't get done, it's also sannyasam is also tamasam. If he has taken to sannyasam. So those who have come to sannyasam through the tamasic way, you can see what will happen. There is a certain amount of karma which was meant to happen through that body that didn't happen. So, and that is why the sattvika karma is a, one has to understand properly. Sattvika karma. Krishna is going to talk about that, that sattvika karma from now on. So, important point is not to say that a particular karma is a struggle, is a too much of an effort, and therefore giving it up. Because if it is too much of an endeavor, you should do what can be done with yourself. Anybody, what you can do. Because, and you have to say to Krishna, this is all I can do with this body. Even in sadhana, it is like that. Meditation, dhyanam, japam, all these things, you will notice one thing, that if you read the history of the great personalities, great devotees, you will find there, and you start doing the way they have done it, it won't be possible. This is what you have to understand here, that you are reading the history of the great personalities, great devotees, great jnanis and all. You are looking at their sadhana, and you start doing things on your own, and you start feeling that, oh, I am not able to do like that. It is not expected from you in that way. It's not expected. All you have to do is to do to the capacity what you can in an honest way. What you can, you should do that, and then leave the rest to Krishna. And you have to say to Krishna, this is all I am capable of doing. This is my capacity. This is my limit. And I have done what I can. I can't do anything more than this. And because in everybody's effort, there is a limitation, is it not? Everyone is not capable of doing 100%. That's not possible. So according to that limitation, and we have done what we can. And we have done what we can, and we have said to Krishna, I have done whatever I can, and left it to Krishna to decide what he wants to do. And that is what Krishna says in the next verse. You see, Krishna is not an expert, he's not a very hard taskmaster in that way. He says, oh, you're not done this, so you're not getting it. No, it's not like that. Krishna's dealings are not like that. Krishna is saying to us that any karma, you don't stop it from what is meant to happen through the body, but that has to be done. And but in perfection of the karma is concerned, that's not in our hands. Because everybody's capacity and limitations are there. And according to our capacity, we should do that and hand over to Krishna the rest of it, the responsibility. That is called that, if you remember, in that verse, Krishna is, Bhagavadam says there, that kayana vajama asendriyarva buddhyalpanava prakriya subhaval karodi edil sakalam parasmai narayanayadi samarpayami. Narayanayadi samarpayami means that, to hand it over to Krishna. And that is what Krishna is going to say in the next verse. In, that is in the ninth verse, Krishna will say this. Because on the in the eighth verse, Krishna spoke about rajasam. That is due to kaya klesham, due to bodily difficulties, or due to worrying about the problems in the body, and therefore not executing karma and giving up karma in that way. That is what he says. Dukkamityeva yal karmam kaya klesham haya tyajel sakritva rajasam tyagam. That is rajasatyagam, he calls it. So, after saying tamasatyagam and rajasatyagam and the satyagam, Krishna is talking about this ninth verse, is the satyagam. Satyagam. We read that verse. Karyamityeva yal karmam. Karyamityeva yal karmam. Niyatam kriyate arjunam sangam tyaktva phalam chaiva satyaga satvigo mata karyamityeva yal karma niyatam kriyate arjunam sangam tyaktva phalam chaiva satyaga satvigo mata. So, karmam, why do we do karmam? Because karmam has certain after effect of that, isn't it? People engage in karmam for various reasons, to earn a good name, or fame, or for acquiring wealth, and so many things. Is it because of all that people are engaged in karmam? What Krishna is saying, no, it's not due to that. In our mind, that is our imagination, that if I do this particular karma, I will be recognized in the world, I will be acquiring wealth from that karma, or fame from that karma, various conceptions in our mind, and we engage in karma. But what Krishna is saying is, karyam ityeva yal karma. Karma is performed only for one reason. What is that? Krishna says that it has to be done. That's all. It has to be done. And Krishna says to him that if you say to me, Krishna says to Arjuna, that if you say to me that you will not do it, you will be forced to do. You will be forced to do, Krishna says. You will be forced to do. He says this, that avashakriyade karma, because you are helpless on this matter, as far as doing karma is concerned. You are helpless on this matter. Krishna is saying this to Arjuna, that you don't have much of a freedom there, because you are helpless in this matter. You are helpless in this matter, Krishna says. So, therefore, this avashakriyade karma, you are avasha. Avasha means you are helpless. And you don't have that freedom to say that you will not do it. You will not do it. You don't have the freedom. He's saying how much we are bound by the prakriti. Prakriti has bound us. You must do it. He says, karyam ityeva yal karma, because this is the nature of the body. This is the nature of the body. And to know that what is the nature of my own body in advance is helpful. What is the nature of my own body in advance is helpful. And that requires a little bit of intelligence to know one's own body's nature, isn't it? So we have to know this niyati of our own body, that very nature of this body. Many people will ask this question, how do I find out what the niyati is? They will always ask that question, isn't it? So, because they are in confusion, what karma should I do? Because of the confusion. So Krishna is saying, niyadam kriyade arjuna. Niyadam kriyade arjuna. See that? Karmam, karyam ityeva yal karmam. Again he brings that word niyati there. Niyadam kriyade arjuna. Because he mentioned niyati before, isn't it? In the seventh verse. Niyadasyadu sanyasam. So naturally Krishna is keeping this in the mind all the time, niyati. So based on niyati, he says, how will you find out the niyati? He says here, that as much as we have accepted Bhagavad Gita inside us, and we are trying to live on that basis of Bhagavad Gita's understanding, this karma, what one has to do, it will come in front of us in the right way, at the right time. The prompting will come from within, from Antaryami. Because we have completely broken up with Bhagavad Gita, that is our problem. And we, with our mind and intelligence, are always absorbed in the making decisions, isn't it? But this particular decision about niyati is not in the hands of mind and intelligence. Niyati is decided and revealed to us by the Antaryami. So, as much as we surrender to Krishna, as much as we become more Krishna conscious or spiritually conscious of, aware of the relationship between Krishna and us, Krishna will reveal that to us from inside. That is why it is called niyati. You won't know it otherwise. There is no way you can find out the niyati through mind and intelligence. Mind and intelligence cannot help you on that. That is where assistance from Antaryami is necessary. He will guide you through in that. But the precondition for that, we have to take that shelter of Antaryami inside. Krishna is saying here that as much as this we become more Krishna conscious, or we become more clear in our mind that what Krishna is speaking is the truth, and we are willing to accept what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, acceptance of that insight, and our life is centered around that principle, Krishna from within will reveal to us that proper way to act in this world, karma, in this field of karma. And that karma which comes like that has to be executed without kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, without the ownership and without the expectation of results from that. So, how, if you ask the question, how can you do that without kartrutvam? If you ask that question, because if you take away kartrutvam from that, karma will naturally happen. Karma will naturally happen. Here, something important. You see, Bhagavad Gita is not telling us to fight a war. What Bhagavad Gita is telling us is to remove the ignorance from inside, not to worry about fighting the war. What it's telling us is to remove the ignorance from inside. Because Krishna knows, if the ignorance goes away from inside, naturally Arjuna will fight. You see? There was ignorance in before in Arjuna. And when the ignorance has gone away from inside, Arjuna said, I will fight. He has no problem with fighting then, is it not? If the ignorance has not gone from Arjuna, Arjuna will still fight. Now, this is the interesting thing. This is the subtlety of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying, Arjuna, if the ignorance goes away, you will fight, which he did. But if ignorance has not gone away from inside, Arjuna will still fight. But till now, that is how Arjuna has fought. Arjuna has been fighting before Mahabharata war also. He has been fighting. But that will become a trouble. That will cause problems. Because without proper knowledge he is doing things. Without proper knowledge. So, if you fight a war without proper understanding, ignorance won't go away from inside. You have to act in knowledge, not in ignorance. That's the principle. All the war which Arjuna has been fighting before was, he was still fighting. He was getting prompted from within, he was fighting there. When this came to Mahabharata war situation, Arjuna says, I won't fight. Krishna says to Arjuna, whether you like it or not, you're going to fight this war. You're definitely going to fight. But Bhagavad Gita was spoken not to encourage Arjuna to fight, although in Bhagavad Gita so many places you will see there Krishna's asking Arjuna now to fight. What is expected from Arjuna is to remove that ignorance from inside and then to fight. Fighting has to happen, but it should be done in knowledge. That's the most important thing. So Krishna's point is, in knowledge it should be done. So prior to that, when Arjuna fought, it was Kartrutvam was there. I am the doer. Expectation of results were there. I am the enjoyer. Both were there. Now after Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna heard that from Krishna. Arjuna says to Krishna, whatever you say to me, I am willing to do it. I'm willing to do that. That means ownership has gone to Krishna now, not anymore to Arjuna. Arjuna passes it on to Krishna, everything. Whatever results come, that's also Krishna's problem, not my problem. This is what is expected from all of us also. In the same way what has happened to Arjuna. So, so people ask this question all the time. Krishna is a warmonger, they say. And they say that, why did Krishna encourage Arjuna to fight the war? You will see people asking all this kind of questions. Actually, Krishna never induced Arjuna to fight. But because, did Krishna ask Arjuna to learn how to fight? No. Long way before Krishna started speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Arjuna has already learned the whole art from Dronacharya and from many others. And he has acquired all the weapons we wanted to fight. Way before Krishna was talking Bhagavad Gita to him. So to say that Krishna is responsible for Arjuna fighting is a nonsense. Is it not? Way before Krishna started speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Way before that, Arjuna has learned the whole art of fighting. And he was participating in so many wars at so many places, helping so many people in so many occasions, and he knew, mastered the art to such a perfection through Dronacharya and many other personalities, and he has acquired everything. Only at this point in time, when he saw the family members and the teachers and the friend, he refrained from fighting. So what is indicating to us is, Krishna is not the responsible for Arjuna to fight. It's already the vasana is inside. So actually Arjuna has started fighting way before the men. So even previous times, when he has taken so many vows, that I'm going to kill this person, kill this demon, or kill this personality, he has taken. He did everything according to his plans before. It was not at that time Krishna was involved with Arjuna. Arjuna did everything on his own without being told Because he was that Kshatriya nature in him, he did that. If you look into Mahabharata, Mahabharata war happens at a very later date in life, isn't it? So many, many years before, Arjuna started picking up his bow and arrow, right from the age of 4 or 5, he started doing this. And all the way through, all along his life, he fought so many people, went to help Indra in the heavenly planets even, to fight there. So in all these things, he has got involved, and it is not fair to say that Krishna is responsible for that. Is completely nonsense and total misunderstanding. Not able to understand Krishna's position, Arjuna's position here. So, he killed many, many people in the battle before. And, na kartrutvam na karmani, logasya sujadi prabhu, na karma bharasam yogam, subhavastu pravartade. Never to forget that verse, which Krishna has spoken before, isn't it? Na kartrutvam na cha karmani, logasya sujadi prabhu, na karma bharasam yogam, subhavastu pravartade. Subhavam is working, and Krishna is not responsible for that subhavam. So, according to Arjuna's Svabhavam, he makes a decision. He made the decisions. According to Arjuna's Svabhavam, he made the decision and he fought all the wars. So, that is why Krishna is saying, there's no point in me trying to stop it or trying to encourage it. It will happen. So, to say somebody that, oh, it is because of Krishna's encouragement I have done this or I have done that, there's no point in saying all these kind of things. And they will do those things, somehow or the other they are going to do it. There is interesting thing we mentioned before also, that you don't have to go and tell a cat to eat a mouse. You don't have to tell the cat, you have to eat that mouse, isn't it? Similarly, ahimsa, it doesn't work with the cat. So, one cat went to a Swamiji and asked the Swamiji that, give me spiritual instructions, he said. The cat asked the Swamiji. Swamiji says to him, Ahimsa Paramo Dharma. Lord Buddha's instructions he told him, that Ahimsa is the highest dharma. And he told the cat this thing. So the cat asked Swamiji, what does it mean? Because he spoke in this way, Ahimsa Paramo Dharma. The highest dharma means Ahimsa, he said. So the cat asked, what does that mean? So he had to put it in a simple way to him. So he said to the cat, the Swamiji, don't eat any non-vegetarian food, he says to him. So the cat is asking, is the mice vegetarian or non-vegetarian, he says. The cat wants to know that, isn't it? So he told him, it is non-vegetarian, you should not eat that, he says to the cat. So cat says, it's a bit difficult, but is there any mantra I can chant so that I can get out of it? This habit, I used to eat them before, he said to him. So he gave him a mantra to the cat. What was the mantra? Na aham ahu bhakshayami. I will not eat the mice. That's what it means. Ahu means mice. Na ahu. Mice I won't, bhakshayami. I won't eat, he said. He gave this mantra to the cat and told the mantra and told the cat, you chant this continuously, just like we chant Hare Krishna. He was told to chant this mantra. So the next day onwards, that day onwards, this cat started chanting this mantra. So 3 days, non-stop chanting went on with this mantra. Na aho bhakshayami. Cat is sitting there in the room and chanting this mantra. When this chanting was going on, Sannyasi who gave this mantra, Swamiji, was sitting outside. Suddenly he heard some sound coming from the room. And some sound is coming and the chanting is also going on along with that. So Swamiji went inside to find out what was going on. And the cat is sitting there with the chanting beats and chanting very well. But at the same time something sound is coming from the mouth. Something was coming from the mouth also. So he told the cat, you open your mouth. At that time he says, what is that inside? He said, something ran in front of me. I just took it and put it in my mouth, he said. The cat said to the Swamiji, he says to him. Because why? Svabhavam. That svabhavam, svabhavastu pravartade, isn't it? Svabhavam will work. What cat says, I don't know anything about it. All I did was something ran away in front of me. I just took it and put it in my mouth, he said. So we don't have to tell the cat that it has to eat the mice, is it not? Similarly, our Prakriti also will work in its own way. Prakriti anyadha bhavo na katanchit bhavishyati. Krishna is saying here also that Prakriti anyadha bhavo na katanchit bhavishyati. That Prakriti will work on its own. You don't have to do anything about it. And that is, knowing this, Krishna is saying here that niyati is like that. You won't be able to give it up. You won't be able to give it up. Only thing what you can do with that is to come out of the kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam from that. Karmam, let it happen. But be conscious of this fact that I'm not the doer and I'm not the enjoyer. Becoming aware of that is more important than giving up the karmam. Giving up the karmam won't work. Karmam will come through the body. But kartrutva bhoktrutvam must be given up. That is what Krishna is saying here. Because who is doing the karmam and who is the doer, and I am the doer. So who am I? What is my identity? Isn't it? And if you inquire in that way, you can see that what you are referring to as I am doing, only a part of me is a part of Prakriti. Isn't it? This body is a part of Prakriti. It's a part of that. And action is happening in the screen of consciousness. See, Prakriti is engaging the karma through the body in the background of consciousness. Consciousness is what we are, isn't it? So consciousness is never touched by karma. Karma means not touching the consciousness. And if we know this principle well, then karma will happen in a way without disturbing us, our mind. It will happen through the body. It has nothing to do with the consciousness inside, with the self inside. And that is why, to become aware of that is why Krishna used that word, Sangam Tetva. See that word? Sangam Tetva. Sangam Tetva is coming from that. Krishna is saying, know this, that consciousness is Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi, isn't it? Pratyanam Brahman. Consciousness is Brahman. And that prajna, what we are, in that prajna there is no karma. Karma is happening in the body and the mind. So if we have realized that inside, kartrutvam will go. Then where is kartrutvam? Because I am identifying with the body and the mind, I am not aware of the consciousness. And only because the consciousness is there, this karma is happening. If consciousness is not there, karma won't happen. Where can karma happen? So in the background of the consciousness, the body and the mind is engaged in the karma. If this knowledge is firm inside, then Krishna says, Sangam Tyaktva becomes possible. That is the principle behind it. Karyam Ityeva Yal Karmam. Krishna says, Karyam Ityeva Yal Karmam. Sangam Tyaktva Bhalani Cha. Sangam Tyaktva Bhalani Cha. That is why Krishna is saying there, Sangam Tyaktva. That means no Sangam to anything. No Sangam to anything. That disconnection has to happen inside. And we mentioned before, asangoyam, asangoyam, asangoyam. That is always important. Puna puna, sachidananda rupoham aham evaham avyayam. That sachidananda swarupam, what we are, completely freed from the grip of body and the mind, in that state of consciousness is no ownership. It doesn't have any kartrutvam. It doesn't have any bhoktrutvam. It's all in the body and in the mind. It's not in the self. With this knowledge, Krishna says, give up that sangam. Sangam tetva bhalanija. And if it is like that, if it is done like that, Krishna says, satyaga satyagyo mata. That is satyagyam. It is in the mode of goodness then. That's the point. It is in the mode of goodness. So, if it is like that, what is the symptom of that karma? That is the next question. If it is like that, that you will only do the good things in this world, or only those things what you like you will do in that way. You can do all that, but certain karma in this world is not, you don't like it doing certain things. Certain karma is not your liking. Then what should we do in that case? That question will come. All the karma what we do is not to our liking. Isn't it? Even in the office when you're working, some things you don't mind doing, some things you don't like it also sometimes, isn't it? So people will say, oh, for you it's okay, you can sit there and talk from Bhagavad Gita, all these things, but we are the people who have to go to office and do all kinds of work. And when you go to office, you will have to report to so many people, and they will tell you to do, bosses will tell you to do various different kinds of things. So it's difficult for us to make a selection there. Whereas they can tell you that, oh, you are just sitting there and talking from Bhagavad Gita, you don't have to report to anybody, you are completely free what you are doing. But for me, I have to go to work, somebody says like this, I have to go to work, and there I have to report to so many people, so I'm responsible for so many different things, and will it happen in the same way then? What can I do about it? If you ask that question, the answer to that is the next verse. If you look at that next verse, Gopal Krishna answers that. Verse 10. Nadveshtya kushalam karma. Kushale nanu shajjade. Tyagi sattva samavishte. Medhavi chinna samshaya. Nadveshtya kushalam karma. Kushale nanu shajjade. Tyagi sattva samavishte. Medhavi chinna samshaya. That's it. That's the answer for that. Nadveshti kushalam karma. Kushale nanushajjade. Tyagi sattva samavishta. Medhavi chinna samshayaha. See, if you look at that translation also, intelligent renouncer, situated in the mode of goodness, neither hateful of inauspicious work, nor attached to auspicious work, has no doubts about work. Has no doubts about, that's the answer to that. We often have this problem, isn't it? People always ask this, do you enjoy what you're doing, they say to you. People often ask that question, isn't it? Do you enjoy what you're doing? And some people will say, oh, I love it so much, what I do. And sometimes we feel you don't like it, but you can't tell this to people, look, I hate this job. But you have been put into that situation, you have to accept it, is it not? So that's what Krishna is clarifying there in that verse. He's saying if you are in that situation, for example, certain karma, you can see that, he says here, nadveshti akushalam ashobhanam kamyam karmam. Sharirambadhvanena samsara karanam kim anena iti evam. That is an explanation to that. He's saying here, so sometimes when a person say he is in the satyagam mood, in the mood of goodness, and he has been forced to do some karma which he doesn't like, it has come through him. So, he knows very well that this karma is not very nice, what I am doing. But the only thing he knows at that time is, the problem is that this karma may bring me some another body, the result of this karma to go through. I may have to accept another body from that. Apart from that, I am not concerned about this karma, what I am doing. That's his attitude towards that karma. Because what kind of karma is kushalam and akushalam? Akushalam and kushalam. Kushale shobhane nitye karmani sattva shuddhi jnana ulpatti. We have to understand this. It's very interesting. That what is that karma? How will you decide some karma is good and some karma is bad? On what basis will you decide some karma is good and some karma is bad? Just that I like it and people say I like it. What this liking has no meaning, is there? Sometimes people say that I like driving a taxi, for example. Or I like driving a bus. Or I like driving the tube train. I don't like some other things. So this liking, disliking is completely based on the ego inside. Kushale shobhane nite കർമ്മണി സത്വശുദ്ധി ജ്ഞാനോൽപത്തി തന്നിഷ്ടാഹേതുത്വേന മോക്ഷകാരണം ഇതം ഇതി ഏവം ന അനുഷജ്ജതേ തത്ര അഭി പ്രയോജനം അപശ്യൻ അനുഷ്വംഗം പ്രീതിം ന കരോതി ഇതി ഏത്. ദ മെയിൻ തിങ് ഈസ് എ പേഴ്സൺ ഇൻ സത്വീയം ഇഫ് ഈസ് എക്സിക്യൂട്ടിംഗ് കർമ്മം മോസ്റ്റ് ഓഫ് ദ കർമ്മം വിൽ ബി ഫേവറബിൾ ഫോർ ഡെവലപ്പിംഗ് സ്പിരിച്വൽ നോളജ് ഇറ്റ് വിൽ പ്യൂരിഫൈ ഹിം. It will lead him into knowledge and it will lead him further into realization of the self. Realization of the self. But even though it is like that, he won't be attached to any of that. You see that? Even though all the karma he will do, that his attitude towards karma is in the sattvagunam, therefore it will still help him to advance in the spiritual life because he is executing the karma in sattvagunam. Even though the karma may not be of his liking, karma may not be of a higher quality karma or like what he wants to do, but because he has no attachment there, therefore he says jnana ulpati, knowledge of the self will happen inside because of what? Sattva-shuddhi. Sattva-shuddhi will come to him. Remember this word Sattva-shuddhi. You remember amanyatva adambitva ahimsa words we even discussed there, isn't it? Earlier we asakti abhaya sattva samshuddhi, that's where we said in the 13th or 14th chapter beginning first verse abhaya sattva samshuddhi, that sattva samshuddhi will come from this karma if it is executed in sattva gunam. It is not because what kind of karma is not important, the mood in which you are doing the karma is more important, because karma by very nature is jadam, it has no life in that. Karmam is jadam, isn't it? So what Krishna is saying here, that if there is no sangam in the karmam, and if there is no attachment there, such a person, that it will happen that in such a way, it will lead him for knowledge of the self and lead him to self-liberation. Lead that to liberation. This is how this verse we have to understand. ന ദ്വേഷ്ട കുശലം കർമ്മ കുശലേ നാനുഷജ്ജതേ ത്യാഗി സത്വസമാവിഷ്ടേ മേധാവി ചിഹ്ന സംശയ മേധാവി ചിഹ്ന സംശയ. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് കുശലം അകുശലം. കുശലം മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് കർമ്മം ദാറ്റ് യു ആർ എക്സിക്യൂട്ടിംഗ് ഇറ്റ് ഹാപ്പിലി വിതൌട്ട് എനി ഡിസ്റ്റർബൻസസ് ഇൻസൈഡ്, ഇറ്റ്സ് നോട്ട് ക്രിയേറ്റിംഗ് എനി കർമ്മവാസന ഇൻസൈഡ്, and you are able to get that through your body and the mind without causing any after effect inside, without creating any karma vasana inside. Akushalena means that karma that binds you in this world, that binds you in this world, because you can see that knowing very well you won't go and jump into the well, isn't it? That know that you'll jump in the well, you'll fall and die, or you will get drowned there, isn't it? So one person, this is just an example to explain this a little better. One person, he on his way to his school where he was teaching, what he did was that he thought that, can I jump over this well? He wanted to give it a try, a small well somewhere he found on the way. But unfortunately, he fell inside the well. He couldn't cross over that. So he cried. A lot of people came and they picked him up from the well, brought him out from the water. They took him to the hospital and they found out that he had a fracture in the body. So people asked him, why did you do that? He said, oh, I just tried if I could give it a try and see if I can manage it. Just out of ignorance, so to say. So people do all sorts of things, isn't it? I know we shouldn't say this, but often you will see this in people's nature. They know that there is trouble, but they'll go and do it. And then when things go wrong, all sorts of follow-up actions after that. But that's all useless. That is akushalam karma. Akushalam karma. They like it, adventure in that. But it ends up like this. Like this man fractured his leg, sometimes you lose your life also. And then others have to search, find him, this, that, and the other. So many things happens, isn't it? So this is that point Krishna is making, that he fell inside and he got all the problem from that, had to go to hospital, then fracture, and then it all got fixed. And then he started going back to school again, started going back there again. And again when he started going back, he thought, let me give it a try again. He saw the second time. Now he felt that he is fit enough. Probably this time I'll make it, he thought. And what did he do here? You can see here at that time, instead of jumping from this side to the other side, he thought, if I jump from the other side to this side, maybe I'll make it, he said. So he was thinking in his mind, will it happen again? No, it's not. I will get through this time. And this is what we do in our life also. If you look at our own life, we do this. And many times we have tried, we have taken chances in life, is it not? Many times we take chances. And many times we try to jump like this, and many times we have fallen also. So many problems has come from that. So similarly, so many karma in life, you will know this, that if I get involved with that, I'll get entangled in life. I'll get entangled in life. But are you able to refrain from that? No, you're not able to refrain from that. Because you cannot do it, that is why it's called a niyati. It's called niyati. Sometimes you can see this happens in life with many, many people, isn't it? You get into relationships, then problems, marriage, breakup, and then again you get married, and thinking that this time it may work out. So what is that? That is that akushalatvam, Krishna calls it as. Of course, it's in the society happening all the time, is it not? But we never learn. We never learn. So sometimes Krishna has to drag us through so many experiences like this. One day we will learn. That's the way Prakriti is. And this is what we were discussing yesterday, that Prakriti has put us in a situation that Prakriti knows our vasanas inside. When Prakriti knows our vasana, what Prakriti does is, it will put you through this again and again and again, till we learn it. Till we learn the lesson. It has to do that. So, that is why it is called a niyati. There you have no freedom there, in those things. You know it is wrong. One experience is enough in life, but no, you will go and take a second chance again. Second chance also fails sometimes, then you try a third one. Give it a try. Like this we go on doing in life all the time, in various issues, isn't it? So, why is it? That is niyati. That is called a niyati. Now you understand what the niyati means, how niyati works. Niyati is not in your control. It will come. Somehow or the other, it will come and stand in front of you, because you are meant to go through it. Material nature wants you to go through it. And therefore it happens. We are bound by that. We are bound by that. And you should not do that, because if you think that, oh, I will not do it again, I won't make the same mistake again. No, it is not possible. That is why it says there, kāryam karma. Kāryam karma. So, kāryam karma mentions there, remember? Kāryam ityeva yal karma. That is that. That's what that is. Kāryam ityeva yal karma. So, for example, a householder, he wants his son to be married or daughter to be married. These are all householders' problems, isn't it? So, at the same time, when he is saying all these things, he is a sadhaka. He does good sadhana every day. He is doing a good sadhana. And he is also first-class sadhana. They are called uttama sadhaka. He is doing a first-class sadhana, and he is also mumukshu. Mumukshu means he has an intense desire for liberation. And he does not want to get involved in this world a lot. Does not want to get involved. But he knows very well, if I get involved in all these things, he will get caught up in that. You know how it is like, is it not? That you can get caught up easily in all these things. But at the same time, you cannot stay away from that by not doing it. So, when this verse came, Acharya Swamiji's Bhashyam, what he is saying here is, Kamyam Karma mentions here that... Kamyam karmam sharir arambha marena samsara karanam. He says here that the karyam karmam
നദ്വേഷ്ടി അകുശലം
അശോഭനം കാര്യം കർമ്മം ശരീരാരംഭദ്വാരേണ സംസാര കാരണം കിം അനേന ഇതി ഏവം. ഹി സേസ് ഹിയർ ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് യുവർ പേഴ്സൺ ഇഫ് വെൻ ഹി വെൻ ദാറ്റ് ഹൗസ് ഹോൾഡർ വെൻ ഹി ഹാസ് ടു ഡു ദാറ്റ് കർമ്മം വാട്ട് ഹി തിങ്സ് ഇസ് വാട്ട് ഹി ഷുഡ് തിങ്ക് വിൽ ബി ലൈക്ക് ദിസ് ആചാര്യ സേസ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ്
ശരീരാരംഭദ്വാരേണ സംസാര കാരണം. ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ്
ദാറ്റ് I know that I'm going to get entangled with this. Because you can imagine, once you have your son, daughter married, then there will be in-laws. Another relationship starts, isn't it? Already sufficient relations in this world, had enough of everything. Then, the householder's problem this is. He has to get the son and daughter married. Once they are married, then you become a part of that family, and then that attachment and everything builds up. Is it not? With that, a new set of relations starts. You become a father-in-law or a son-in-law comes in, and then when they visit you, you have to properly look after them. And like this, this extension of, and at the old age, you want to get involved in all these things to that extent. But it comes, life is. So, Acharya says here, that na dveshti akushalam ashobhanam kamyam karmam. But sharira arambadhvarena samsara karanam kim anena idi evam. He says that there's nothing you can do about it. It has to be done. But at the same time, if I get involved in this, again I'll start thinking, oh, my son, my daughter-in-law, my daughter, my son-in-law, all these things will enter into the mind. It wasn't there before. But once the marriage has happened, all this has entered inside. A new set of people has come inside. So, Ajani says here, because of all that, you should not give it up, not doing that. You should not do that. Because you have been put into that situation for some reasons. For some reasons. That means that there must have been some vasana inside from previous life. That's why it has come. That you have been thrown into that situation. That is the explanation to that. That some hidden vasana inside from previous life must be there. That's why you are thrown into that situations. And if you don't complete it, you won't be able to come out of it. If you try to escape now, another life again to come through and complete that cycle. So this is how strong that karma operates. So in order to, unless you complete that stream of karma, without that action, you cannot jump out of it. You cannot jump out of it. Because that particular thing, what we is like this, that suppose you are like in a prison and there is 3-4 windows all around you in the prison cell, and the cell and the windows have got its iron bar. This is one of those iron bar. You are inside that prison and you can't jump out of that prison, and therefore without completing that, they won't open the door for you. Karma is like that. Without completing that cycle inside, what destiny Niyati has brought in front of us, without completing that cycle, the prison officer will not open the door for you to leave the cell. So, it is akushalam karma. Because you know that, if I do that karma, you will get caught up. You will get caught up in that. And it's no point in saying that I will not do it. That's also going to work. It has to be done. Kushale shobhe nitya karmani. He says, kushale shobhe na nitya karmani sattva shuddhi jnanolpatti. Shobhanam. Shobhanam means nitya karma. Nitya karma means the daily things what you have to do.
Shobhane nitya karmani.
That means the daily karma what one has to execute, irrespective of what one does in this world. Nitya karma. That means the spiritual obligations and other things. Those things Krishna is saying here, that in that nitya karma,
he says, nitya karmani sattva shuddhi jnana ulpatti.
That will help you to, sattva shuddhi will happen if you do that. That means even though all these akushala karma comes, we should still continue doing the kushala karma. That is one important point. That means due to householder life, all these complications have come. But that should not interfere with your nitya karma. In spite of all that what's going on there, still you have to do your nitya karma. Nitya karma means all your spiritual activities, sadhana, everything. What you are supposed to do without any question mark. It has to be done. And
Mangala karma, he says here, iti evam
na anushajjade. He says here, anushajjade. Anushajjade means to go and stick to it. That means nitya karma should be performed without sticking to it, even while this inauspicious karma, which is likely to bind you in future, you have to go through it. At the same time, nitya karma, which is auspicious, must be performed. So this all makes householder life a little complicated, isn't it? Kushalena anushajjade. So therefore, you say that kushalena anushajjade. I like this karma, therefore I am going to do this. For example, Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, continuously hearing Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavatam, and going to the temple, participating in kirtanam, sankirtanam, bhajans, all these things I like very much. Therefore, Krishna is saying, nitya karmani sattva shuddhi jnanolpati tanishta hedutvena moksha karanam idi evam na anushajjade. Na anushajjade. So I start thinking, if I do all these kind of things, that means chanting, going to the temple, engaging in spiritual activities like Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and things like that. If I do all that, I won't get attached anywhere. Sangam won't happen like the other way. And it all will lead me to liberation. I will think like that, isn't it? And therefore, chanting the holy name, bhajan, Srimad Bhagavatam, and they are all good karma, and I'll continuously do that only. I won't do anything else. And as far as marriage is concerned for the son or the daughter, all these things, that let them look after themselves. If you think like that, and what can I do? Let them handle it themselves. If you take that attitude and let me live in a comfortable state, that's not what is right attitude. Because Krishna is saying there that just because I like all these karma, which one? Salsangam, chanting the holy name, temple activities, or bhajan, sankirtan, all these things I like it, and because I like it, I'm going and doing all those things. These things like the problems at home and all these things, I don't like it, so I'm going to leave it behind. If you say like that, that is no good, because a person in satugunam, he will not go and stick to those karma which is done in this way. That sticking is the problem. Whether karma is not the problem, whether you are sitting here and hearing Bhagavatam, or whether you are busy with the family affairs, it doesn't matter. But if you are sticking, that's where the problem is. Sticking to any of these things, either this or that. So that is what is Krishna is saying, it makes a karma kushalam or akushalam. Kushalam or akushalam. So, because we are thinking that a particular karma is the cause of our liberation, and it is not. Karma is not the cause of liberation, because we are thinking that, so I am chanting the holy name, and that will give me liberation. Instead, cooking in the kitchen, or my work in the office, or meditation, all other things, is causing me problems. That is all entangling me. If I start thinking like that, that's a mistake. You see? Because many times people make these decisions on this basis, and Krishna is straight away telling us it's not. Because this is normal nature, isn't it? We think like that. Give up everything, and thinking, oh, I like my Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, I like the Sankirtanam, I like bhajans, kirtans, and I like going to the temple, and I like chanting the holy name. On this basis, I've taken all that, but the other things I have said, that's all botheration. I'm not going to do it, and I leave it behind. If you do like that, And if you start thinking like that, Krishna is saying to us, please take away that misunderstanding. Karmam is not responsible for the liberation. Karmam is not. Karmam is jadam. Karma kim param karma tat jadam. Upadesha Saram says this. Karma kim param karma tat jadam. Karmam is jadam. But whatever karmam you do in this world, karmam on its own has no power, as such, has no power to release you from the body. You see that? Karmam as such, whatever karmam it may be, has no, whether it is chanting, whether it is deity worship, whether it is sankirtanam or bhajanam or whatever it is, karmam on its own, as such, has no power to release you from this body. It is simply, it is a thing, what they call it as inert. 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 Isn't it? Inert means it has no interaction with anything. It is independent of its own. Karmam is an independent thing. Karmam is not responsible. But while executing that karmam, in what mood you are doing that? What bhavam? What you have in there? And it is that bhavam that is what is going to release you from the world, from the material existence. Whatever may be the karma, this is the principle of karma yoga also. In karma yoga, this is the principle. That whatever bhavam, what mood you have while executing that karma, that is what, that will release you from the karma. Karma will never release anybody. Because karma is nothing but a forceful expression of that gross power behind. That means in the material nature that big power is operating, pushing us to do in karma, isn't it? So that karma that comes out is a forced expression, a gross expression of that force, what is pushing us from behind. That's all it is, karma is, isn't it? So, so therefore, to stick to any karma thing that this is a good karma because I like it, this is a bad karma because I don't like it. For example, you can see various kinds of karma in this world, is it not? People have to do all kinds of karma. In devotees and who are very advanced in the spiritual life, they had this understanding in them. That is why all those great saintly persons in Maharashtra we are talking about, all of them continue to do their karma till the last moment. You see? Till the last moment. that personality who was making BDs, Nisargadatta Maharaj, till the last moment he did that. That was his livelihood and he did that. That Chokamela, who was Goraknath's disciple, he was a scavenger. He had to go and clean the toilets of people. Till the last point in his lifetime, he did that. Tukaram had a business, he continued doing that till the last minute. Similarly, if you observe all this, Kabir, for example, he was a weaver. He was weaving. Till the last minute, he did that job. Is it not? So look at all these personalities. They were all great souls, highly realized, highly knowledgeable. And what you see in the Shastram, you see in their life. Isn't it? So what did they do? Because they know karmam itself is not the power, karmam doesn't have the power to release us. What is actually doing is their relationship with that karmam, the mood in which the bhavam they had in that karmam. Now people are thinking that, oh, if I give up all the karma and join one center, I'll get released because I'm properly situated, they say. You're not properly situated. You've thrown away everything, all your niyadi, and then you come and made a mess of this also. That's what has happened. That they don't understand that. That because they don't understand Bhagavad Gita properly. Bhagavad Gita's principle is this, that karmam on its own has no power to release you. Karmam kim param karmatam jadam. Karmam is jadam. Karma has no power. What relationship and what mood you are executing that karmam, that is what makes a person go further, go forward in his spiritual life. So that is the important point. So sometimes we can see that these personality who are like that, they don't say this karmam is nice, and they start getting attached to it. No, all karma, it is a karma at the end. And they see it as a karma and they don't stick to anything. This is their freedom. That's their freedom. So some people, they will get attached to, say, meditation. They will say, oh, I enjoy the meditation process. And, or just like sometimes we say like this, that when I was in meditation, I was feeling so good, so much realization, they say. So, and on every day, on a particular time, they will sit for meditation. But as soon as the meditation is over, they will see that their mind gets again disturbed. They get very restless. And sometimes they will say, oh, I'm not getting that same meditation what I got before. Because meditation, you have to experience inside something. Sometimes they don't get it. Mind is wavering. It is going in all kinds of directions. What can be done? And saying this, they will run around all over, looking for some peace. And because the very nature, anything what you have experienced through the mind, it will never stay. This is the nature of the mind. Sometimes we can see people go on a retreat and all that. Is it not? And they, when they come back from the retreat, while they were having the retreat, everything was fantastic. Good prasadam, good dancing and good kirtan music, everything was good, social life, everything was first class. As soon as everything is over, they come back, then they feel miserable again. So why is it like that? That is because of this. You are thinking that all those things are elevating in spiritual life. Actually, they don't. They cannot. Because you can see the problem. Problem is this, that everything what you have experienced in your mind will not stay. It cannot stay. Will not stay. So even if you try forcefully to hold it, it cannot stay. It cannot stay. And just like anything that is related to the body and the mind will not stay at all. And also, all these things, not only experience in the body, even experience in the mind, cannot stay. Why? Because the reason for that is, there is only one thing in this whole package that is permanent. Nitya vastu, alma. Is it not? So, and that is our swarupam. Alma is our swarupam. And you are not giving any attention to that. You are giving attention to the body and you are giving attention to the mind. And when you go for these retreats and these different programs like that, anything for that matter, Kirtan Mela or whatever it is, even Shrimad Bhagavatam Saptaham and all that, when you go there, and if it is you are feeling some happiness from that for some period of time, that it is purely experienced in the mind. It's not coming from the Atma. Still not coming from the Atma. But once you have known that I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, my swarupam is that vastu inside which is permanent, then you will also experience permanence in everything when you experience something. Because of your identification with the body and the mind, all the experiences that's coming or whatever anubhavam experience you have there in the body and the mind is also temporary. But once we realize who we are, our self-realization, once it happens, there you will understand that you are eternal, and therefore these experiences, when they come, you won't be disturbed over it. In other words, oh, I've lost it. You will never say that again. Because you have really touched that permanent thing inside, which is Atma. So, and you will also know that in that permanent thing, these temporary things of the Prakriti will come and go. These things, what's happening, is in the Prakriti. Is it not? Body is Prakriti. Mind is Prakriti. Material nature is Prakriti. And all these activities, what we do, their effect of all that is in the Prakriti. It is not happening in the self. But once we have realized, you will start seeing there that Sattugunam is bringing happiness, Rajogunam is disturbing karma, and Tamogunam is bringing depression. You will start seeing that because of your identification with the self inside. That is what Krishna is saying here. You see? that it is not something so simple as we think about it. That we put everything through karma and think that, oh, these are all the good things I am doing, these are all the bad things I am doing. The secret of all this is how you have done that, in what consciousness you have doing that. With this understanding that karya mityeva yal karmam, Krishna is saying that again and again, karya mityeva yal karmam, that prakriti is doing so many things through this body. Niyati is also prakriti's business. Prakriti puts you through that. So when all this karmam is happening, and the after effects of that karmam is coming, good or bad, that is all in the mind or in the body. But at the same time, when you start seeing that the vastu, why it is not remain staying permanent with us, the happiness? Reason is that you are identifying with the temporary thing. So where consciousness goes and sticks, that's where it the solution. If the consciousness is sticking to the eternal thing, vastu inside Atma, then whatever that is happening in the body and the mind will not have any effect on the self, because you are always situated in identification with the self. Therefore it does not matter, you won't lose it. But when you are identifying with the body and the mind, if any experience comes from any activity, as much as because the nature of the body and the mind is temporary, the experiences also will be temporary. This is the principle. That's why these verses are Krishna. When Krishna says that, Nadveshta kushalam karma, kushalena anushajjate, tyagi sattva samavishte, medhavi chinna samshayaha. Sadi, tyagi sattva samavishta. He remains in the sattvagunam and see sattva samavishta. And therefore, he will not blame the karmam for that. Karmam is not responsible for that. Who is responsible then? Our own ajnanam inside. That I am identifying with the body and the mind, and therefore I am experiencing happiness and distress because of that. Whereas the moment my identification is with the vastu inside, Atma, it is in his presence that all this karma is getting executed through this body by the material nature, and therefore I have nothing to do with me, and I am not a part of that. So there is no ownership, there is no enjoyership, and there is no after effect of that karmam inside. That means that karmam will not sow any seed of karma vasana inside for another body to take again. It's so subtle the whole thing is, isn't it? So therefore, important principle here, that is why Krishna is sentencing that. Krishna hasn't spoken so strongly about that in the third chapter, in the Karma Yogam. There he told us the principles. But here, finally Krishna is saying here, in the ninth verse, Karya mityeva yal karmam, niyatam krede arjuna, sangam tyaktva bhalam jaiva, satyagam swatiko madaha. Very openly he is saying this. Sangam tyaktva bhalam jaiva, satyaga swatiko madaha. So without sangam, if the karmam is performed, without bhalam, expectation of results, if karmam is performed, satyagam is satvigam. It is satyagam. Krishna says, Karya mityeva yal karmam, niyadam kriyade arjuna. Karya mityeva yal karmam. That is the way Krishna is saying here. That because, therefore he says here, Krishna says to Arjuna, that you can see this in life also, if you observe carefully, that sometime in life, when everything what you are doing, you will be very successful. Without too much of an effort. And whatever you may do, everything will come out nicely. And even if you have gone and done something nonsense, still you'll come, the result will be good. The result will come out okay. And some other time, whatever you may do, everything will end up in problems. Everything ends up in problems. Any activity. And even if you have to speak, you'll get into trouble. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes you can talk all nonsense, nothing happens. Sometimes you have to say one word, something went wrong, somebody will catch on that. And he will write about you in the internet. And he said like this, he said like that, and all sorts of discussion. Sometimes people scrutinize things to such an extent. So, and sometimes even if you do something good to somebody, it will end up in problems. That person will misunderstand everything. And he will take it in the wrong way and will cause problems. Sometimes you do something wrong to somebody, to curse somebody and do something to someone, and it comes out nicely, and it comes and thank you for doing that. All these things happens in this world, isn't it? And this, you know this, we all have this experience, isn't it? You start thinking, particularly within the family also, this happens all the time. You've done it with some good intentions, you took it in the wrong way, and then war started after that. And sometimes you have done something, thinking that let him stay go, in the try to keep them under control, but things came out in such a way, everything was okay for that person. So this is why everything, what you do with your body, with your mind, with your speech, all these things is done by Prakriti. That is what it says. This is why we call it as it's done by Prakriti. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Prakriti means gunam, the three modes of nature. They are doing it. And if you look in your own life in this world, you will see this must have happened to everybody, sometime or the other. That you have done with something, you thought it's a good thing, but the result was not good. Or you did a wrong thing, which was not very good, but the result came out okay. Then they will say, oh, it's because the time was good at them. That's why it came out. Now the time is not good. So it's not the time, it's the Prakriti's nature. So, therefore, Krishna says to Arjuna, seeing all these things, you should not fall into that illusion. He says there, you don't fall into that illusion. Because, as far as Krishna is concerned, there is nothing special in this world. Remember this. Krishna's position is always like that. There's nothing special here in this world. And you can see, throughout Krishna's life, if you look, when he was in this planet, whatever he has done, this was the attitude. There's nothing good, there's nothing bad here. If it is Mahabharata war, it's good or bad. No, it's done. It's done and dusted. That's it. And killing Kamsa, done and dusted. Relationship with the Gopis, done and dusted. Marriage to Rukmini, done and dusted. Everybody, it's the same thing. Always in the platform of the soul, in that Alma state. Executing karma in that state. That is what is expected of us, to come to that state. You see? Krishna's life itself is the perfect example of all these things in this world. If you have to learn anything from Krishna, this is the most important thing to learn. Because not only what he spoke, but his life itself is that message. What he told this to Narada Maharshi one day, isn't it? To everybody, this is it. To Narada Maharshi, he said, my dear son, he says to Narada Maharshi, Tata, he calls him. My dear son, because Narada Maharshi went to see Krishna's householder life. He wanted to find out how can one person, Krishna, can marry so many wives and maintain a householder life like this. And what Narada Maharshi saw when he went and saw, what he saw there, with Rukmini, Krishna was busy with certain things, with Satyabhama, some other things, with Jambavati doing different things. In every house, he didn't go to all the 16,108 houses. Only about 10 or 12 houses he went. And whatever he saw there, he started realizing that how is Krishna able to do this in different ways, in different homes, according to the different situations, how he was able to conduct his householder life. So the testing was over and Krishna called him, told him, come here, he said. And he says to Narada Maharshi, that you should know, I'm not a person who just tells dharmam to this world, but I practice it and show to the world how to execute that dharmam. That is the difference. So Krishna's life is the message. Life in this world itself is the message. So every time you can see whatever Krishna has done in that 125 years, whether it is, he was capable of doing everything, always in the platform of the soul, never in identification with the body. He took the Brahmana's children, he went to Vaikuntham and brought them back from there. Did he not? You remember Sandana Gopalam's story in the 89th chapter of the 10th canto. The Brahmana whose 10 children had all escaped, Arjuna promised that I will get them. Arjuna couldn't do anything. Finally, what did he do? Krishna said, come with me, Arjuna, he said. Took him to Vaikuntham. From Vaikuntham planet, he brought them all here, back to this world, and told them, you can stay with your parents here now. He can bring them from there to this world, and he can take people from here to that world, to Vaikuntham also. Both ways, it's possible for Krishna to do that. Why? Always on the platform of the soul. Never on the platform of the body. no bodily identity anywhere. That is Krishna. So till we understand Krishna's personalities and activities, that is what that verse is talking about. Which one? Janma karma ja me divyam evam yo veti tattvada tektva deham punar janma nedi ma medi so Arjuna. That's the verse in the 4th or 5th chapter. Isn't it? Krishna's janmam, Krishna's karmam, to understand is difficult. Who can take anybody to Vaikuntham from here like this? Like a flight is taking here, from there. And he has taken so many people from here to Vaikuntham, isn't it? Kuntidevi, Parikshit, and who else? All the Uddhava, and so many others. He's told them, come back. He has transcended everybody. Rudrasura, and Akrura, and so many others have all gone back. He took them all from here to Vaikuntham. And he brought all these children of the Brahmana from there back to this world. From Vaikuntham, he has brought them back here. So this is that Janma Karma Cha Me Divyam. Krishna's activities are difficult to understand. How could that happen? Because you can see here that important principle Krishna has told Arjuna, don't get illusioned by all these things. There is nothing special here in this world. And therefore, don't get sticking to anything. Not to stick to anything. Whether it is a good karma, whether it is a bad karma, not sticking is important. Not sticking to the karma is more important. Not making a judgment whether it's a good karma or bad karma. It is a karma at the end. When it came to gunadosham, Krishna said the same thing. Is it not? Gunastu bhayavarjita. Gunadosha drishadosham. To see something is gunam, something is dosham. Something is good, something is bad, itself is bad. Not to see something is good and something is bad is good. This is how he puts it in the Bhagavatam, to Uddhava. Isn't it? Gunastu bhayavarjita. To give up both, seeing this good and bad. So the same thing in karmam also. Karmam also it's the same thing. Not to see this is a good karmam, this is a bad karmam. Niyadi has brought this karmam, I'll have to do it and do that. But at the same time, not to stick to it. That this karma, what results is coming from that and comparing the results. All these things. So whether it is a good karma or bad, this good karma, bad karma is all in our eyes, not in Krishna's eyes. For Krishna, whether killing Kamsa or engaging in Rasalila or fighting Mahabharata war, is all same. Whereas what for us, not. It's not like that. It's not. For Krishna, fighting Mahabharata war, engaged in Rasalila, Rasa dance, or killing Kamsa, all same. No difference at all. It's a very difficult thing to understand it even, isn't it? What to talk about to become like that. But that is that state Krishna is talking about. Not to get attached to the result of the karma, and not to think that this karma is better than the other karma, or other one is worse than this or better than this. This discrimination has to go from inside. So that's why Krishna is saying here that whether it's a good karma or a bad karma, not stick into it. And for example, when problems comes, we tend to shy away from that. For example, problems at the office or problems at home. And if you are in the middle of all that, then you have to do something, you have to do it. You just have to do it. And some people have an obsession about that. What they'll do is, I'm not able to do it very well if I do such and such a thing. In the office also sometimes it happens. You do something, it's not up to the expectations of the management or the bosses or whatever it is. And some people are able to do it much better than you. And you are not able to do that. But what can be done? I can only do that much, what I'm capable of, isn't it? To my capacity, I am doing that. That's all. And you are not, from Krishna's point of view, you are not expected to excel yourself in the karma. You are not expected to excel yourself in the karma. That is all in the mundane world that you have done this. Because Krishna is saying all karma is equal. There is no doing it better and doing it worse. You do according to your capacity, but what was your relationship with the karma when you were engaged in the karma? That's more important. Whatever you are, you have to do along with that. This is all I can do, and that's what it is. And others are doing it better, let them do that. For me, this is all possible, and I have done that. What is the result of that? Let that be whatever it may be, doesn't matter. And whether you have been promoted or you have not been promoted, doesn't matter. And if somebody else has got it, fine, that's okay. Because from the viewpoint of karmam, all this has no meaning. Here you are thinking somebody has done the karmam very well, he has been rewarded for that. But in Krishna's eyes, that is not what Krishna is looking at. Krishna is looking at it, with what attitude you have done that karma. That is what criteria as far as Krishna is concerned. So there the devotee or a person in spiritual knowledge who has proper understanding of Bhagavad Gita, he is thinking like this, that whatever may be the results, Krishna knows what I have done. That is surrender again. Again the surrender comes there. So Krishna knows, and Krishna knows where to put me, in what situation I should be put into. Krishna knows that better. And knowing that, and wherever Krishna has put me in, I will sit there. And whatever Krishna forces me to do that, or encourages me to do that, I will do that. And whatever Krishna may ask me to speak, I'll speak that. So if you continuously practice this principle, what Krishna has spoken here, you become like an instrument in Krishna's hands, and you won't have any bondage. Bandham won't happen. That is the point Krishna is making here. See that verse? Karyam ityeva yal karmam niyadam kriyade arjuna sangam tetva bhalam chaiva satyagam satiyo mada. Only, it is not that people think that if I do a particular karmam very well and the whole world appreciates that and you feel recognized and you feel rewarded properly for all that, and people are telling you that you've done a great job, and all these things has no value in the face of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita's point is, what was your relationship with that particular karma? What has come through you? And in that executing that karma, was there any attachment, sangam, to that karma? Has it created any attachment to that karma? Has it created any expectation of results from that karma? If these two things did not happen there, and you have accepted and done that karma the way Krishna has put you into, the karma Krishna has put you into, and you have done it to your capacity, without worrying about the results of that karma, and without concern about the after effect of that karma, if you executed that, Krishna says, that karma will not create any bondage. Because why? Your attitude while doing that karma was like an instrument. Like a machine you have done that. Not involving your consciousness or your ego to get involved in that. Isn't it? So, so important thing is, why Krishna is saying this is, in the material nature, if you go and catch hold of something, whether it is good or bad, it will become a cause of bondage one day. Anything in this world. And everything can become a bondage. That is what Krishna is saying here. If you go and do something good karma, if you think, that also can become a cause of bondage. Arjuna, he says to Arjuna. And even if it is a cause for liberation, Krishna says you should not stick into that. Even there. Even it may be a cause for liberation, but you should not stick into that. Because that is what he is saying here, that the moksha karanam here, that moksha karanam idam iti evam na anusha jade, idam evam na anusha jade. Because it is moksha karanam. Moksha karanam means the cause of liberation. But why it is said like that is that we say it is a moksha, the cause of liberation, isn't it? You are not attached there either. Because this thing called a liberation is not something that has to come from outside. You see, when you are in that concept that I have to get liberation one day, and in that process I have to get somewhere else to get liberated, it is in that concept we are living in this world. Is it not? One day I will get liberated, and when I am liberated I will go there. That's where my liberation is kept, somewhere else. In that understanding. But this liberation, what Krishna is talking about is that liberation means, what is liberation then? The question comes, isn't it? Liberation is, all that means is, I get released from this false identification with the body and I get my proper identification as Atma, Self, inside. And that is my Swarupam, isn't it? My Swarupam is that Atma. Atma is my Swarupam. So, therefore, there is no Sangam there either. I become that, and then there is no Sangam separately there. What is that? Krishna says here that he continued to execute the karma. Kushale nanushajjade tyagi sattva samavishta medhavi chinna samshayaha. Medhavi chinna samshayaha. Krishna says here that purva uktena sangha phala parityagena tadvan tyagiya karmani sangam tyatva tad bhalam nitya karmanushtai satyagi. Then he says that he continued to do his karma in this world, and along with that he is doing his nitya karma also, what he has to do, but no attachment to the results, either in the nitya karma or to the other karma. So such a person is situated in the mode of goodness, Krishna says, goodness. And therefore he says here, that tyagi, that person, sattva samavishta, is situated in the mood of goodness, medhavi, he is intelligent, not material intelligent. Medhavi means that he has got the essence of spiritual principles in him. He has got the spiritual way of understanding things, not the material way. Spiritually he is conscious what he is doing. That is why it's called medhavi. And what else? Chinna samshaya. He has no doubts in his mind. There's no doubts in his mind. So you see, a person in that state is not an ordinary person. How to come to that level of realization inside while engaged in karma? While engaged in so many misunderstandings we already have, isn't it? Because we have to remember, the thing that binds us in this world is this karma. Karma. Karma is the thing. What is it? So they say that it is a bondage without a rope. It's a bondage without a rope. And we have to know this, that karma is binding us here. And you can't think, you see, simply that I'm going to leave everything and walk away from this. You won't be able to walk away from that. And you should not do that either. And sometimes you will know this, you may think that I want to do this, I want to leave away, throw away everything and walk away from there. But you won't be able to walk away from that so easily. And at that time you will know that it is not so simple as you think about that, to throw away everything and walk away from this, isn't it? Because in the field of prakriti, in the field of upadhi, we are all bound. We are not free. We are not free. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is spoken also. Ishasya hi vashe loko yosha darumayi yatha. In the Bhagavatam, you will see in the third canto. Ishasya hi vashe loko yosha darumayi yatha. That means, Prakriti has put all of us under her control. Just like who? Just like the yosha darumayi yatha. Like this puppet, people who play the puppets, you know these puppets, when they've got the strings behind it, and the person who is playing the puppets, he pulls the strings from back, and the puppets have to dance according to the pulling the strings. Similarly, Prakriti, that powerful force behind us, she is pulling us from behind. All we can do is to dance according to that. There is not a lot of freedom in these things. Come to this understanding, that is more important than anything else. If you understand that, then trying to escape from this will not be, you'll know that it is not so easy to come out of this. And we are all toys in her hands. What Prakriti wants to do that? When she tells us to lift your hand, you have to lift your hand. When she tells us to drop it, you drop it. Whether it is, you can see this, when even Ramachandra came here, whether it is Ramachandra or Ravana, doesn't matter. They all have to play that game here. While within this circle of Prakriti, within the Prakriti circle, isn't it? And according to the way she plays with us, we have to play that game. We don't have that freedom. And when you look at things from your point of view, from your own position, you will think that, oh, I have got a lot of freedom. You will think like that. And I have got a lot of willpower, self-will, or willpower and self-will and all that. But if you look at it from the absolute platform, everything is under Krishna's control. Krishna's Ichashakti. Ichashakti means the way Krishna desires, that is what finally dictates the karma in this world. How Krishna desires. That is who decides, who dictates everything. But to come to this understanding, it takes a while to come to know this. That initially we will never understand. We will say, they'll say, if you say this to anybody, they'll say to you that, oh, you can say all that things, but I am the one who is suffering. Well, you are the one who is suffering. That's your ajnanam. That's your ajnanam. Actually, what Krishna is saying here, that ichashakti, ichashakti means that desiring power of Krishna is what manifests through all of us in the form of desiringness. That desiring power of Krishna is the one that manifests in each of us as desires through us. Krishna's willpower is called dhriti, and what comes through us, it becomes kriya shakti. Is that? Ichha shakti, jnana shakti, kriya shakti, sarubini. When we say this, you should understand that prakriti and purusha are non-different in the Vedantam situation. Vedantam is saying, prakriti is non-different from purusha. Prakriti has come from purusha. So prakriti is another energy of purusha. So whether you call it as coming from purusha or prakriti, it doesn't matter. All Krishna is saying here is that Krishna's willpower is called dhriti. It is Krishna's plan that is happening through us, through different bodies, and that comes out and manifests as kriya shakti. Kriya shakti means power of action through us. Through us. It comes as the power of action. So it is Krishna's power that is come, that will, that is coming through us, jnana shakti, that comes through us, kriya shakti. Krishna decides how much knowledge we should have about a particular karma. That much jnanam comes to us. And to excel in that particular karma, how much you should excel, Krishna decides that along with that you will excel in that work. For example, two people, when they are doing a particular work, one person, Krishna has decided he should have more knowledge of that work or what he is doing. So accordingly, that much knowledge goes to him. And this is true in all cases when people are doing a lot of research work, is it not? In the big, big laboratories and in the universities and all that. Who decides who should find the result, finally result? Krishna decides that. There's nothing to feel proud about all these things. Because it's Krishna's decision that when material nature wants to release a particular knowledge about anything, any new invention or discovery, material nature decides to release it through someone. At that time, that person will be given that knowledge, will be given that power for action, and accordingly the results comes through him. But that decision is not made by him. It is not his effort that is causing. The behind that is, in the absolute platform, it is Krishna's desire that's working, that it has to happen through him. This is the proper understanding. But of course, the evil thing, from when we look at from our point of view, we'll start thinking, oh, it's my willpower, or my dedication, my intelligence, my this, my that. It's nothing to do with it. So it is Krishna's Ichha Shakti, Krishna's Jnana Shakti, Krishna's Kriya Shakti, that is coming through us. And its expression is what you find through the various forms in this world. The expression of Krishna's Kriya Shakti, Kriya Shakti means the power of action, Krishna's Jnana Shakti, power of knowledge, and Krishna's Ichha Shakti, Krishna's power of desiring. It is that is coming expressed through different bodies in this world, and that is what we call it as samsara, or material existence. All, and that is exactly the principle what's spoken in the universal form also. In that universal form, what Arjuna was saying there was that Krishna's energy is manifesting through so many different bodies in this world. That realization happened to Arjuna when he saw the universal form. That it is Krishna behind it. For us, that realization is not there, so we are still doing it. Actually, Krishna is doing everything. It's coming through us, and Arjuna recognized that in the universal form. Nobody is free here. Nobody is free here. And on the bodily platform, we are not free. We are not free. And if you know this, you know what is the greatest success? That if you know that on an absolute level also, that absolutely you know that you are not free with this body, if you know that, you become free. This is the paradox here. In the spiritual life, when you get to know that on a bodily level and on the level of the mind or level of intelligence or ego or all on the upadhi mandalam completely, when you come to know you are not free, then you become free. You see how that works? If you understand the subtlety of that, what Krishna is saying there. In upadhi mandalam, sharira mandalam, in other words, bodily platform, when you come to know, when you come to realize that I am not free, I am bound. In everything I am bound through karma, I am bound through all the problems of this body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything, and the material nature. When you come to recognize this completely inside and accepting it totally inside, and you have become and understood that you are not free, once you understand that, you become free. That is how you become free from the body. Not otherwise. So, therefore, and then you will realize that you are in Krishna's hands. Everything is in Krishna's hands. We don't have anything of our own here to show, to prove, or to bargain for. And when you know that you are not doing anything, Krishna is doing everything, you already liberated and you escape from here. Because upadhi sambandham has gone. It is at that point that connection with the upadhis happens, breaks up. Connection with the upadhi breaks up. This is exactly what Krishna is saying as in the Bhagavatam also. Dehastobi ma dehastha. Is it not? Of course, that's spoken in a very refined way. Dehastobi na dehastha vidvan sopnad yathotida. Adehastobi na dehastha kumati sopnadrik yatha. A person who is in identification with the body, with the mind, with intelligence, with the ego, Krishna says he is always bound. Adehastobi na dehastha. Even after he has left the body, he hasn't left the body. Because this connection is not in the gross body, it is in the subtle body that connection is. That is where it has to break up. And when that breakup happens, Krishna is saying that you are already liberated. There is no more connection. So the moment we know that in the field of body, upadhi, or the field of body and the mind, if we have no freedom, we cannot free ourselves from that on our own. It is there and it is a reality. If you accept it that way, and if you have come to terms with that, and you're not making any more complaints about it, accepting it, that's the way Krishna has put me in, and that's what it is. The moment we realize it that totally, you are free. You have become free from that. And then you will see that, let anything happen in life, whatever that is happening, you're not bothered after that. You're not bothered after that. Isn't it? That is the point Krishna is making here. See, it's a very, very high principle that when we start looking at things, you got to recognize these things without taking any... It's not that Krishna is sitting there thinking what this man is doing here in this world and start making sitting there judgment. No, he's not making any judgment. Krishna is saying here that you are bound, but therefore Bhagavatam verses becomes more relevant. Bandho mukta idi vyakhya gunadome na vastuda gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. There is no bandham, there is no moksham, Krishna is saying. After saying all these things, that's what Krishna is saying to Uddhava. Gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. There is no moksham, there is no bandham. What is there then? Ajnanam. Ajnanam is there. Avidya. That is what's causing the problem. So once the ajnanam has gone, avidya has gone from inside, then you see what you are, and therefore there is no more bondage, there is no more liberation. There is no more bondage, there is no more liberation. So it is to that point Krishna is bringing us to in this particular verse. So, if it comes to that, what happens is that it is that person who is in that state is what that word is referring to. Which one? Sattva Samavishta. See that word? Sattva Samavishta in the third line. Tyagi Sattva Samavishta. He is Sattva Gunam, is in him. Therefore, all this realization is in him. Sattva Samavishta. And therefore, he is what? Medhavi. He is Medhavi. His Medha Suktam is there. Like Shri Suktam, Narayana Suktam, Purusha Suktam, there is a thing called Medha Suktam. Medha Suktam is a number of verses, hymns in the Vedam to develop the Medha power. Medha Devi, praying to her to give the Medha Shakti. Medha Shakti means this capacity to capture the spiritual message without any deviations, without any material things. It's okay, we capture with our mind and brain, is it not? But spiritual things is not to do with the mind and brain. It has to go to the right place and has its effect on us. So one who has got good Medha Shakti, he will capture that straight away, that Medha Shakti. So that is what is called Medha Shakti. So the person who has got that Medha Shakti, he is called Medhavi. And Medhavi will have no doubts about anything. Chinna Samshaya. He has no more doubts about anything. That is what Krishna is saying here. And if you execute karmam in that way, little by little, all that stock inside will get exhausted. All the karmam inside will get exhausted. In other words, Medhavi means one who has got a lot of Shraddha. Remember, Krishna spoke about in the last chapter. Why did he talk about Shraddha so much? Because Shraddha develops in a person who has got Medha Shakti. Shraddha Shakti is the power of this Medha Shakti. Medha Shakti is nothing different than Shraddha Shakti. It's not different from Shraddha Shakti. When the mind, when it was gone inwards and it started experiencing what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, and you start recognizing that it is all true what he has spoken inside me, and as much as you are realizing it and you are accepting it inside, you will see a sizable change happening within ourselves. You will start seeing things in a completely different way. And that ability to do that, it is not coming from ego. It is a thing that happens inside due to the power of Medha Shakti or Shraddha Shakti. And that is what Krishna is saying here. That person will have no doubts. You see, only because we are capturing things with mind and intelligence, these doubts are coming in spiritual life. Because we are capturing with the mind and intelligence. And therefore, all doubts comes up. Whereas in the Upanishad's language, they did not encourage that, mind and intelligence. The more important thing is how to develop Medha Shakti and to get the message straight into the heart rather than going to mind and brain. Mind and brain. If it goes to the mind and brain, it will all end up in questions and answers. Question answer, what question answer? Where is the question and where is the answer? There's nothing to question, is there? And there is no answer needed either. The truth is there in the Bhagavad Gita. All it is required is that truth should happen to us. That's all. And there's nothing else required. There's no question of asking any doubts about Bhagavad Gita. It's a foolish thing to ask doubts in Bhagavad Gita. Supreme Person, absolute truth is speaking to us. And he says, no, I got some doubts what you're saying. So, see the stupidity in that. The doubting itself is a stupid thing to ask in Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam for that matter. It's not something to be clarified with questions and doubts. It's not a subject like that. This subject is what Krishna is saying here, Tyagi. If you are situated in the Sattva Samavishta, in that Sattva Gunam, Medhavi, you will capture the message direct, Chinna Samshaya. There won't be any doubts after that. That's all it is. That's a simple way to understand that. So, we'll continue after a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha davadni nirvavanam shreyakkaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandambudhi vardhanam pradipada purnamrada swadhanam sarvatna subhanam param nijayade shri krishna sangirtanam namnamakari bahuda nijasarva shakti tatrarpida nemida smaranina kala Edadrishi Tavakrupa Bhagavan Mamavi Durdaivami Drisha Vihajani Nanuragaham Tranarabi Shunichena Tarorabi Sahishtuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamba Jagadi Shakamai मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरे भवदात् भक्तिरहे दुहित्वरे अये नन्दमनुज किङ्करम् पतिदामांशमे भवाम्बुदो कृपया तव पादपङ्गजस्थितधूलि सदृशम् विचिन्तयाम् नयनम् गलदश्रुधारया वदनम् गद्यदरुद्धया गिराः पुलकैर्निजितम् कदा बभू तव नाम ग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधम् निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधम् शून्यायुधम् जगल् सर्वम् गोविन्द विरहे नमे आश्लिष्य वा पादरदाम् पिनष्टु माम् अदर्शनाम् मर्महदाम् करोतु वा यथा तदा वा विदधा तुलम्बनो मत्प्राणनाथास्तु न एव नापरा न द्वेष्टकुशलम् कर्म वेष्टन् न द्वेष्टकुशलम् कर्म कुशले नानुषज्यते त्यागी सत्त्वसमाविष्टे मेधावी छिन्न संशयाः मेधावी छिन्न संशयाः सो हियर हाउ डस दिस सत्त्वगुणम् बिल्ड्स अप सत्त्वसमाविष्टो यदा सत्त्वेन आल्प अनाल्प विवेक विज्ञान हेतुना समाविष्टः संव्याप्तः संयुक्तम् इति एतन् सो a person when he takes this knowledge on board about the alma and analma, which means that body, mind, intelligence, ego, upadis, all upadi belongs to prakriti, not to me, it belongs to prakriti. Me, the self, individual self inside is alma, not analma. Analma is the rest. Analma means all the upadi. It's all analma, isn't it? So, what is alma and what is analma? When one, through one's own discriminative power, if we not understand with mind and intelligence, but in his realization, if it has happened, naturally, sattugunam will build him up very strongly inside. Because nature of alma is to bring sattugunam into the person. That's the nature of alma. If alma builds up inside, it pulls the sattugunam into him. Because that is the very nature of alma. It's sattugunam. The very nature of alma is sattugunam. Sattugunam will come to him. That is why alma jnanam, knowledge of the self, and sattugunam are inseparable. If you remember this, in the Bhagavadam, Krishna mentions this. Sattvam rajasthamaiti gunam buddherna chalmana. These three modes, sattvam rajasa tamasa, is in the buddhi, na almana. It is in the buddhi, na in the almana. But at the same time, sattval sanjayade jnanam. See that? Sattva jnanam is what we are talking about, isn't it? Sattval sanjayade jnanam. That means if sattvagunam is there in a person, jnanam will be there in a person. Or if jnanam is there in a person, sattvagunam will be there in that person. That is the point Krishna is making here. अत एव च मेधावी मेधया आत्मज्ञान लक्षणया संयुतः तद्वान् मेधावी मेधावित्वात् एव छिन्न संशयः छिन्न अविद्याकृतः संशयो यस्य आत्मस्वरूप अवस्थानम् एव परम निःश्रेयस साधनम् न अन्य किञ्चित् इति एवं निश्चयेन छिन्न संशयः नौ कृष्ण सेस् हियर मेधावी छिन्न संशय सो बिकॉज ऑफ द नॉलेज ऑफ द सेल्फ इज हाई in a person. Knowledge, not intellectual, but in realization. Experience level of the alma is very strong in a person. Therefore, he will have a lot of metha shakti also. Metha shakti will be very good. And he becomes a medhavi. One who has got a lot of metha shakti is called medhavi. Therefore, he is fully conscious all the time that this self-realization of one's knowing oneself as alma, as or the self, is the only goal in life. Nothing else, as far as he is concerned. And all his doubts leaves him at that time. So it's a state of consciousness that it's no more identification with the body, but because of his constant endeavor in spiritual life, and for his due to his surrender, Krishna rewards him with this success. Krishna rewards that person with this success. Krishna puts that person's consciousness in the self rather than in the body. He moves the whole attention in the body, moves away to the self. So here we are talking about Medhavi, isn't it? So, Sattugunam Samavishtam, it says, Medhavi Chinna Samshayam. That means, Medhavi will have a lot of Shraddha Shakti, what we talked about before. It is at that time this power comes. Which power? Medha. When you have a lot of Shraddha Shakti, that is what turns into Medha. In the Chandogya Upanishad, in that conversation you will find there, one to another, stage by stage, the Rishi is telling how Medha Shakti develops in a person. Medha Shakti is not intelligence. I don't know what's the word translated here. Medhavi Chinna Samshaya. See, the Medha word, it's mentioned here as intelligence, isn't it? Intelligent, it says. Now, when somebody reads that, what can you do? It's not, Prabhupada can't help it. Because that's the only word available in English. This Medha word is only in the Sanskrit language because it's a spiritual language. And that spirituality doesn't exist in any other language. Therefore, you have to call it as intelligent. But intelligence is not what it meant. Generally, when you say intelligent, if it was intelligent, all the scientists should have a lot of Medha Shakti. All the politicians and businessmen must have a lot of Medha Shakti. They are very clever and intelligent people, aren't they? But they don't have it. And they are the most dull-headed people as far as Medha Shakti is concerned. Most of them are so dull in that point of view. I mean, in many instances, Prabhupada mentions this. He says that I have to drain tons and gallons of blood to convince one scientist about existence of God. He says, about the existence of God. Because his Medha Shakti is so poor inside. So definitely, and they are supposed to be intelligent people in this world. So this is what the difference comes. So, Medha Shakti is not intelligence. So that translation, you have to take it in that understanding. Otherwise, if you just think it's intelligent, you have to ask the question. That this is how doubts come to people. They ask this doubt, so many intelligent people, why they are not reading Bhagavad Gita and able to understand? This question always comes back, isn't it? And people create doubts like, the main reason for that is this, that Medha Shakti is coming from Shraddha Shakti. And Shraddha Shakti is a peculiar power that comes from Atma. And that is Krishna's grace. Krishna's Kripa, that is, when one gets it. And therefore, Vedam says this. Not Krishna says, Vedam says this. Medha Devi Jushtamanam, it says in the Vedam. That means, if Medha Devi is the personified form, the personality of the personification of Medha Shakti, is Medha Devi. You know, all the qualities in a person has got personified forms. Shanti, Tushti, Karunyam, Krupa, everything is a personified form. You will see in the Bhagavadam all these names, personal personification of different spiritual qualities mentioned there. Kirti, Lajja, Shri, Aishwarya, everything mentioned. Daksha Prajapati married many of them. So many different Prajapatis married many of them. You will see they were married to different Prajapatis at that time. So, in the Vedam says, Medha Devi Jushtamanam. That means if Medha Devi touches a person, in other words, blesses a person, then he will start speaking Brahmavidya, will come out from him. He will start speaking Brahmavidya if Medha Devi touches a person. So, Medha Devi, what Upanishad says is, if Medha Devi touches a person, he will become a Rishi. He will become a Rishi. This is their quality. All the Rishis you find in the Bhagavadam, Krishna mentions Rishis, isn't it? Everywhere. With Krishna, what do you find? All Krishna's friends are these Rishis. Listed in so many different places. Especially if you look at solar eclipse when it happened in Kurukshetram, at that time all the rishis arrived there. All of them arrived there. And there Krishna talks to Vasudeva and Devaki that these people are always with me. He points out to them. If you look at them, they are not very good looking, are they? With their long beard and matted hair. But all of them had all this Medha Shakti, very high Medha Shakti in them. That is why when they have spiritual discussions, They discuss with Krishna or discuss with Shiva and personalities like that. You will see this. In front of Dakshinamurti, Sri Narada Maharshi and Angiras and many other rishis are sitting there and they are sitting quiet. Lord Shiva is sitting quiet and the message is getting transmitted. How does that happen? That is that Metta Shakti is power. Able to capture the spiritual message without being touched by the mind and intelligence in its pure form. That's called Metta Shakti. So, Vedam says that if Medha Devi, the personification of Medha Shakti, if she touches somebody, he becomes a Rishi, naturally. So, and this Rishitvam means the Rishi's nature will start manifesting in that person. When does that Rishitvam comes in a person? When does that Rishitvam comes in a person? Said, whatever Rishis are speaking in this world, that is the original source of wisdom. Original source of wisdom. It is from that, so in other words, it is not coming from a book. It's not coming from a book. Or it is not coming from another second-hand information. It's not a second-hand information. Everything what the Rishis speak is coming from the original source. The original source. When it comes through somebody, what happens? The message loses its purity. No matter, depending on that person who has delivered the message to you, the message would have lost its purity. But when it comes from the original source, where it originated from, all the Vedic revelations are coming from the original source, Upanishads. All the Rishis, what they have spoken. Why Rishis are respected so much? For this reason. Because it is through them, and the revelation is from the original source. Vishwamitra, Vasishta, Kanu Maharshi, Angiras, Pulasya, Pulaha, Kratu, Bhrigu, Vasishta, Bharadwaj. Endless list mentions there. And wherever Krishna goes, you see them with him all the time. They are Krishna says to Shrutadeva and Bahulashva, they are my permanent friends, he says. I got temporary friends wherever I go. But these ones, they are my permanent friends, he says. To the king and to Bahulashva. So worship them, he says to them. He says to them to wash their feet and to worship them. Krishna went to these two personalities, Shrutadeva and Bahulashva in Mithila. So Shrutadeva was a Brahmana, poor Brahmana, and Bahulashva was a very rich and powerful king. Both were devotees. So before leaving the planet, Krishna decided to go and visit them. So when he went to visit them, both of them invited the same day to come. So what did Krishna do? Expanded himself into two. And then his friends, they also expanded into two. Two Sukadeva Goswami, two Vedavyas, two Vishwamitra, two Vasishta, two Bharadwaj, everybody in two. One group goes to see Bahulashva and receives all the reception there. This is very welcome there. And then another group goes to Bahulashva and gets worship there also. And in both places, Krishna says to them, to Bahulashva and to Shrutadeva, that these are my permanent friends. They are always with me. He said, I am always with them. This is how Krishna introduces them. So please wash their feet first. And that is how much Krishna values them. It is through them Vedam has come to this world. Vedam has come to this world. So, that is why when people hear Upanishads have this powerful effect that you are completely stunned by hearing the Upanishads knowledge of the Upanishads. It stuns a person, he gets stunned by that, because even if you have not understood it, it is stunning. It's a stunning experience, that is, because it's coming from the original source. Just like they give the example, that when Ganga River starts from the Gangotri, when its original source, where she starts from. So, it is like that. Ganga River, when she starts from, she's so pure, and she has all the power in her, when she starts from that Gangotri, Gomukh they call it, I think, the place where they originally starts, Ganga River starts from. So, how pure she is, and how strong she is. Similarly, when these Vedic knowledge, when it comes through Upanishads, in the form of Upanishads, when it comes through the Rishis, it is like that. And that is that metha. it will open up inside when it had like that. And once that Medha Shakti opens up inside, what will happen is Alpa and Alpa Viveka Prajna will develop inside. It will naturally open up inside the pure consciousness of the knowledge of the self. Alpa and Alpa, the Prajna, that awareness of Alpa and Analpa. What is Alpa and what is Analpa? This awareness will wake up in that person. And then nobody can stop him after that. Nobody can stop. That is the position of all these rishis. When the Vanishas knowledge has come through them, they could not anymore pull back. Then from then on, they are flying with spiritual knowledge, spiritual realization. So therefore, never again they could come back to any material concept of life. They escape from this cycle of birth and death. They escape from this complete ignorant state where we are now, isn't it? So that is the importance of the Medha Shakti Krishna is talking about. So first thing is that Alpa and Alpa Prajna. Alpa, what is Alpa? What is an Alpa? That awareness will wake up inside, and the result is that each of us will start giving attention to ourselves. Who are we? This question will keep coming up inside. Who am I? This question will. So Medha Shakti has this power. Medha Shakti has this power. And the cause of all this is karma. Karma is the one which leads into this Medha Shakti. Because karma, what we are doing is, when Krishna is talking about purification, what we actually do is, we are purifying the karma the way Krishna has spoken. When you take karma instructions, Krishna's instruction in the Karma Yoga, and this chapter what Krishna is talking about, if it is followed seriously and if it is practiced properly, Krishna is saying it will purify you. And if it purifies, Medha Shakti will build up inside. Medha Shakti will build up inside. It happens in stages, isn't it? And we are not giving up anything. But wherever Krishna has put us in, whatever situation Krishna has put us in, we are doing that work, whatever that has come through us, isn't it? And as I mentioned that earlier, before that Chokamela story in the Maharashtra, his job was the most difficult job, if you look at it from the material point of view. You couldn't imagine. You know the society that existed at that time. There were no toilets like the way we have today. The situation was that when toilets were built, they had built only the affordable people who could afford to have toilets. They had toilets at home. And they had, imagine the kind of toilets they had. They used to have boxes in which they had to pass the stool, everything. And this person has to go take out the box, clean up and put it back. I don't think you may have seen them. About 50, 60 years, in railway colonies I have seen this. Railways had big colonies, railway staff. They built new houses for the railway staff to live. Similarly, all other government departments also. And they had to have, those days this kind of toilets what's there now was not existing then. Flushing system and all that didn't happen. So the system was that these kind of toilets were there, and this scavenger or the person who did that cleaning up job, he had to come every day and clean the toilet. Naturally, because that was the kind of work he did, most of the people won't associate with him very closely. They won't come inside the house, they'll stay outside the house. Food was given to them outside. And people looked at that profession as one of the lowest profession to engage in. But here is a realized soul doing that. Chokamela. Realized soul, he was doing that. And him and Namadev, they are all self-realized personalities. And when Namadev was having his salsangam, Chokamela will come and stand there in that salsangam. You can't go closer because other people in the society will not accept him at that time. But the bhakti inside Chokamela was so high, Namadev used to pay obeisances to him, to Chokamela. He used to pay obeisances to him. So what is important here is that that once you have moved out of the body, look at the realization of Namadev, look at the realization of Chokamela. Neither of them are affected by the karma, is it not? Karma is coming through the body, it's passing through the body. But they know who they are. They know who they are. So, and this Chokamela has written and sung many, many songs glorifying Vedantam and Advaitam in his prayers, what he has written. Highly realized soul Chokamela was. And Namadev mentions that Chokamela was a highly realized personality. In other words, Chokamela was not allowed inside the temples. Can you imagine? That is how it was. He was not allowed inside the temple. He was realized soul, he was not allowed inside the temple. So therefore, because of the social position like that, and Chandrabhaga river, which flows through the Maharashtra, and which they consider equivalent to Ganges, Ganga river in Maharashtra. So he was told, when the Brahmanas were bathing in one side of the river, he was not allowed to come to this side, he has to stand on the opposite side of the river. That was the distance they had to keep from him, because of his occupation. And one day, Vithal, the deity in the temple, instructed the head pujari that bring Chokamela here inside the temple with kumbham. Kumbham means they fill, you know, when you receive honoring people, Purna Kumbham they call it, a great pot filled with all valuables. They receive him and bring him in. And Krishna had to say this to the pujari to receive him and bring him in. And they had to do that. They had no choice. Krishna has told them to do that. And everybody knew that he was a pretty realized soul. And everyone used to sing the songs what he has sung and he has written. But he continued doing this work, what he was doing throughout his life. And so, although people knew that he was a jnani, he was a realized person, and he never endeavored hard to start an ashram in his name or to collect disciples and bring a new institution or anything like that. Nothing happened with him. Continuously continued doing this service till his body became sick. So, in one instance, that one while he was doing this service in the toilets for others, all lot of his devotees who were worshipping him also, they were chanting the holy name outside. They were chanting the holy name and he was working there. And Chokamela knew this very well, that all those devotees one day, they will also get released from this bondage. So, that they will all go back to the spiritual world. So there what happened was that unfortunately, while he was engaged in this work, some of the devotees were close to him and who were chanting the holy name, standing next to him. There was a wall there which was built and that wall fell on them and they died. All the people died. A few people who were with him died. So what we have to understand is that how Krishna blesses people, we don't know. It's wrong to think that Krishna will bless us in the way we want it. When Krishna wants to take away somebody from this world, Krishna has his own way of doing things. So that is Krishna's decision. And nobody on whom the wall has fallen, nobody felt any pain. And they all smiled and they left this world. This story is in the Chokamela story. You can read in the Maharashtrian saint story. So, when they all died, along with that, Chokamela also fallen into that situation. So everyone started feeling great difficulty. There was a problem now. A great Mahalba, his body is also lying underneath this wall. So they couldn't recognize whose body, because all the hands, legs, everything were dismembered totally because of this the fall of this wall. And it's all thrown into pieces and become a lump of flesh, everything has become. And they wanted to take Chokamela's body from there and properly honor it by cremating it and also they wanted to build a samadhi for him and everything, the local devotees who were. So when they were in that situation, not able to recognize which one of them is Chokamela's body, at that time Namadev came there. And Namadev told him, he mentions this in one of his abhangs, he says there that Namadev says here that bring all the bones that's lying there, he said. And he brought all of them, and he will put the bones into his ears. And from some bones, the holy name was coming out. From the bones, the holy name was coming out. And what is the holy name? Because there was a devotee of Vithal. That is, chanting was coming. Vithal, 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 Vithal. It was coming from the bones. It is coming from the bones. And Namadev sings this in the Abhangam. He says, put all these bones, that is Chokamela. He says like that about him. So, Namadev mentions this, that to all his devotees also, that even at the time of death, you have to be able to chant the holy name and leave this world. Chant the holy name and leave this world. But he wanted to show to the world, normally we say at the time of death we want to chant the holy name and leave this world. But Namadev says, I've got this one disciple, Chokamela, who even after death is chanting. He hasn't stopped. All this may sound a little bit difficult for people to understand, but these are things what has happened with the devotees. You can't ignore that. You have to accept it in that way. So, in other words, even after death, the power of the holy name is like that. Even after death, every cell in the body is conscious of the holy name. Every cell in the body is conscious of the holy name. And means each cell is filled with that holy name. That's the power. So when all this opportunity is there, still we are thinking that why spend the whole life in simply struggling in this world to that extent to live? Is it not important to understand this karma yoga Krishna has spoken and to live in that way in this world? That is the important. So because devotees will mention this in their history. If you read, they'll say that, what kind of life have I got? They are addressed to Krishna and saying like this, that after hearing all these great incidents, what has happened in the great devotees, my life is going like this. Because they are feeling separation from Krishna. They are feeling that all these mahalpas, all great devotees and great personalities, they have all escaped from here one day or the other. And I am still caught up in all this mess in this world. Family, job, this, that and the other. And sometimes we may think like that. Such thoughts will come to us. Is it not? But Krishna is saying to us, there is no point in thinking like that. That is the important thing. It happens to all the time. Many people you will see devotees saying this also. That when you have moved a little further in spiritual life, you will start seeing that there is nothing much in this world as far as material life is concerned. There is nothing much to do here. And everything what you do here ultimately ends up in distress and more problems. It causes more distress in life. So you'll start seeing that why I am put into this situation. Why you have, Krishna has given so much mercy to so many devotees and taken them out from this mess. Why does not happen to me? This question, sometime or the other, will come to everyone's heart. When you feel that necessity to free yourself from here. What Krishna is saying here is, don't think like that. There is no point in thinking like that. Because they, and in that mood, don't give up the work. That's the point. In that understanding. That because, therefore, Krishna deliberately put certain people in these conditions. Chokamela is one example of that. He had to do the most difficult job and kept him as a devotee. To show to us that work has nothing to do with your bhakti. Bhakti and work are two different things. Karmam is something that is passing through the body. And that way we have to accept it. And bhakti we have to execute what Krishna has spoken. Isn't it? So, so if a person can do such a job as a scavenger like Chokamela, and still realize the truth. Is it not possible someone who is doing a IT job or doctor's job or engineer's job or whatever it is, accountant's job, how can you say it's not possible there? Even in such a job, if he could realize the truth, is it not possible to do that in any other profession? That is the question behind it. That does not mean that you have to go and sit in this IT company from morning to night. Whatever it may be, whatever job it may be, whether it is shops, groceries, grocery business, or daily wages, whatever work it may be, that is this idea, that this understanding, that that in the society when you want to represent this understanding from, that means for the sake of adhyatmam, for spiritual advancement, for the sake of bhakti, or for the experience of Krishna, it is not necessary to change the dress or to change the profession. It's not necessary. Because Krishna has put us in certain situations in life and there is a reason behind it. That is the first thing to accept. There is a reason why Krishna has put each one of us in different situations. There is no point in complaining about that and asking Krishna, if we can change this job to another job, I will be alright. You are not going to be alright. It will be the same. I'm going to say. So acceptance of that, that is the most important thing in these verses. You see, na dveshte kushalam, dvesham. No dvesham to any job. No hate towards any job. This is a job that has come to me today, I'm doing that. That's the attitude. Na dveshte kushalam karma, kushale nanushajjade. Important thing is, you don't stick to it. Only if you stick to a particular job, you start feeling about it, isn't it? Suppose I get attached to one particular kind of work. This happens all the time in all professions. You go to office, some kind of work you are get attached to. And then you keep saying to everybody, oh, I enjoy doing that, I enjoy doing this. Why? Because you are attached to it. That's what you are enjoying, isn't it? Your attachment to that. But that attitude, Krishna says, must go from inside. Kushalam nanushajjade. There is no attachment anywhere. And therefore, Krishna says here that our niyati, niyati means our destiny, or our dharmam, Krishna has decided what that is. Krishna has decided, not us. Krishna has decided that. And if it happens that they have become qualified for sannyasa ashram, and if their life has to be in that way, that is also Krishna's decision. If it happens to them, see, that is why one should not go and jump into this thing called sannyasam. It causes problems. That if it happens in life in such a way that Krishna arranges the whole situation in a particular way, that you felt the urge from inside, Antaryami is directing us to move away from this world and to come to sannyasashram, and that is all niyati. It's all niyati. Whether it comes or not, let it happen. But only if I get that, I will get liberation. That is misunderstanding. Only if I become a sannyasi, I will become perfect and spiritual. That's all misunderstanding in people's mind. A lot of people have this misunderstanding. Only if I become a sannyasi, that I am properly situated. And sannyasis start looking upon householder. Oh, he's just a householder. Fallen householder, they say. He's just a fallen householder. This is all bogus. Where is this idea? Where is it in the Bhagavad Gita, all this spoken? And if it was like that, when you look at all these personalities in the Maharashtrian saints and all that, sannyasam is a later thing which has come into spiritual life. That later on it was introduced as a sampradaya system. So, wherever Krishna, more important than that is this acceptance of this principle, what Krishna is saying here. That means wherever Krishna has put us in life, to accept that without complaints and saying that Krishna has put me into this situation, I will happily go along with it. Whatever that may be, that is surrender, that is bhakti, that is sharanagati, not sannyasam. Krishna is not saying all sannyasis I will hand over liberation, no. Krishna says they will be liberated who has got this surrender inside. Surrender is more important than any other things. Any other things. So, whatever work Krishna has put us in, staying within that, and this experience has to come inside the heart. This realization has to happen inside. So, so after hearing all these things, you start experiencing this inside, and you start saying that while in the satsangam also you started chanting the holy name, or you are engaged in any other kind of sadhana, adhyatma sadhana, and somehow or the other, some bhakti sadhana or jnana sadhana, that means any sadhana which will develop bhakti in the heart, any sadhana which will develop knowledge in the heart, jnana sadhana. So, if you start doing that, you will know that it has not it has no connection with the karma, with the karma that you are doing. That means, suppose after you have understood this from the Bhagavad Gita, this principle, and at home you have started doing some sadhana, jnana sadhana or bhakti sadhana, doesn't matter, self-inquiry or chanting the holy name or any studying Srimad Bhagavatam, doesn't matter what it is. You have taken it as a sadhana and you started doing that. If you keep doing that, after a while you will know that your sadhana, spiritual advancement, has no connection with the work what you are doing in the office. You will realize it yourself without anybody telling you. It will come to you in that way. So at that time, let it work, carry on its own way. And there is problem in that, executing the doing the work at office and doing various other things. And at that time, when you have that difficulty, if you do experience that, just take Bhagavad Gita, these verses, and start reading that. If you are feeling that problem inside. You know, many people, that is why we shy away from the work, and we think that our devotees can't do any other work, we can only do in the temple, we can do some temple services. And we have condemned everybody in this world, saying that you're all useless, going and doing, working outside, all nonsense you are. This kind of thing has developed. This is misunderstanding. That means they're not studying Bhagavad Gita. They don't understand what Bhagavad Gita is saying to us. In any situations, no matter where it is, accepting where Krishna has put us in, accepting that as it is. This is what Krishna has given to me, and I have no complaints about it. And to do that work, all Krishna, Tyagi Sattva Samavishtam Medhavi Chinna Samshaya, executing that work without complaints, and that is, Krishna says, is bhakti. That is bhakti. So you can see here that Krishna says to Arjuna also the same thing. That he says to him that that you have to fight, that's what your job is, you do that. And somebody else says, you can ask, why don't you go and work in the office instead of fighting in this war? He didn't say to him, say to Arjuna. Krishna's, what is Krishna's job? Politics, throughout life, isn't it? Age of 10, 9, 11 it started, politics. And it finished at 125. So 114 years almost, it was politics. That was Krishna's job. Throughout you read Bhagavatam, what else is going on? Politics, isn't it? Between the Kauravas and the Pandavas and Jarasandha and Shishupala and Bandhavakra, endless list there of the kings Krishna had to deal with, and demons he had to deal with, all types of people. Mostly he was busy with the kings at that time who were in power. Hastinapuram, Indraprastham, Dwaraka, running around all around. Krishna was doing that, isn't it? And that too, the most nasty politics. That's what he had to deal with, isn't it? So Krishna is saying to Arjuna, don't insist that I want some good karma, bad karma, all these things. You should never ask that question, Arjuna. Because if everybody are asking for good karma, what will happen in this world? Who will do the bad karma? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Suppose everybody has become devotee in this world. Who will clean the toilet? Their question also will come. And who will drive the buses? Who will do drive the trains? We try to create some imaginary world, some ideal society, which will never happen. It's not going to happen. Bhagavad Gita is not talking about that. That you create isolation, a community which is very ideal. So many people have tried that in this world. They've all failed. That it can never happen. Because first of all, when you try this, now you can see, for example, they talk about the self-sufficiency. It's one of that, isn't it? Whatever I can see, I don't know what you have seen, most of the self-sufficiency people, They are sending people to collect funds from the public and run their self-sufficiency projects. What self-sufficiency is there? Where is the self-sufficiency? If you are self-sufficient, you should ask anything from anybody, should you? But what I noticed is, the self-sufficient projects is like this running. They call it a self-sufficient, but they are only after the rich people and telling them everything. Look, we are running this self-sufficient. Can you give us some money? So where is the self-sufficient? It's a joke it is, isn't it? So many projects are going on, and they're thinking we are perfectly situated. Yes, it's a nice way of life to do this. But this is the same. Krishna says this kind of philosophy, this is what will happen to Bhagavad Gita. If you start abusing Bhagavad Gita in this way, there's nothing you can be done. Nothing can be done. That means you're not understood what Bhagavad Gita is saying to us. Whatever position, whatever situation we are in the world today, that is due to some reason behind it. That is why you are there in that position. And you try to change it, and you try to escape from this by your own cleverness or smartness or whatever it is, tomorrow Krishna will put you into a much more difficult situation. That because you have not learned the lesson yet. You are not following Krishna, what Krishna is saying to us. And you are manipulating the situation to suit your own ego and to suit your own... That is not surrender. That's not surrender. That is why Krishna is saying here that yogastha kuru karmani, Krishna says in one verse, isn't it? That yogastha kuru karmani, if you seek in Bhagavad Gita, you will see that verse. Yogastha kuru karmani, be situated in the yoga state and execute the yogam. It says, I don't know, it's in the 6th or 7th chapter, it says like that. That be situated in the karmam, wherever Krishna has put in that, do that. But learn this art of making the karmam without sangam and without the sangam tiktva bhalam chaiva, without expectation of results and without sangam, if you execute that karmam, that is yogastha kuru karmani. Yogastha kuru karmani, Krishna says. Which one? Chapter 2, verse 48. Yes. Sangam Tektuva Dhananjaya, that's it. It is the same thing. Yogastha Kuru Karmani. Be situated in the yogam, and this is what it is. Situated in the yoga, yogastha means situated in the yoga state. What is yoga state? Yoga state is this, what Krishna is saying to us. Wherever Krishna has put us in, accepting that, this is where Krishna wants me to be. And I'm sitting there in that state and doing that karma that has come through me without any attachment to it. Any results, no attachment, no sangam, no bhalecha. Sangam tiktva, Krishna says there, isn't it? Sangam tiktva bhalam. Bhalam means results. Sangam givanam, bhalam givanam. No sangam, no bhalam. In that way, if you execute that karma, Krishna is saying there, Siddhya asiddhya samo bhutva samatvam yogamuchyade. That's the most important statement there. See, yogastha kuru karmani sangam tektva dhananjaya. Siddhya asiddhyo samo bhutva samatvam yogamuchyade. Samatvam yogamuchyade. Yoga state is this, samatvam. Samatvam means whatever state Krishna has put us in, not complaining about it and accepting it as it is and going along with it without trying to become clever or thinking that I can engage. To think that I can be in spiritual life only if I have this kind of job in my hand, this kind of work in my hand, that is not correct. That is what Krishna is saying to us. So, so here, if we are only able to engage in that karmam with what Krishna says, there also you can see it is just a repetition of that verse only, what you are seeing now. That verse, if you look here, that Karyamityeva yal karma niyadam kriyade Arjuna sangam tyaktva bhalam chaiva satyago satyayo mada. This verse is nothing but a reflection of that verse. Which one? Yogastha kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dhananjaya. Nothing but the reflection of that verse spoken in a different way. Again stressing that important point, that It is your sangam that causes the problem, not the karmam what you do. That's the principle. It is not the karmam what you do that causes the problem. It's the sangam to the karmam that causes the problem. That's the fundamental principle there. Similarly, if the bhalam result of the karmam, if that is what you are attached to, then this or that, it doesn't matter, you are in trouble. So sangam must go, bhalam must go. If that is gone, yogastha kuru karmani, that karmam in yoga state it is. Yogastha kuru karmani. So if it is done like that, what is the benefit? That's the question, isn't it? If it is done like that, alma and alma vivekam will come. That means you will start saying that you are not this body anymore. That is called alma and alma vivekam. Alma and alma. Alma is the alma inside soul. Analma is all the other things. Body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, material world, everything is analma. So, alma, analma, vivekam will come if one executes karmam in this way. That is Krishna's statement here. If you do like that. Alma, analma, vivekam. And when that happens, when this alma, analma, vivekam, discrimination comes inside, that prajna, prajna means awareness, happens inside, slowly, slowly, all these things happens in a very slow pace. Very slow pace this happens. What will happen is that person will engage in self-inquiry. He will engage in self-inquiry when this stage comes. And it will turn into chitta-shuddhi. Purification will come. And you can see at that time, he will start realizing only atma exists. Body doesn't exist. You see? Today we say body exists. Atma doesn't exist. When this realization comes, you will say, only Atma exists, body doesn't exist. Body doesn't exist. And Chittam has become purified. Purification has happened. And so, often people will say this. You can talk to people, they'll say this. Oh, I don't have to go for any Salsangam. I don't have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam because I'm pure. I'm not. My heart is very pure, they say. They have misunderstood something. What can you do? If people start saying that, they say sometimes, isn't it? When you invite somebody to come and to hear Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, they will say, I don't think I have to hear Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and all that. I am a very pure person. I have no bad habits. I am pure inside. And if you insist on, why don't you come and hear Srimad Bhagavatam a little bit, they'll say, no, there's no necessity. If your mind is pure, you don't need to go for to hear Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. But because he has already decided he is pure. That person has decided inside. But what you have to remember, Shastram is telling us that if you are pure inside, the symptom of that is that in a natural way you will get attracted to Salsangam. This is how Shastram sees that. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is saying to us that if there is a little purity inside a person, in a natural way, you will get attracted to the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. No matter where it is, it can be anywhere, doesn't matter. Somewhere, wherever Bhagavad Gita is spoken, Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken and discussed, you will feel a natural attraction for that. And that is an indication of a certain amount of purity inside. It's not that you declare to the world, oh, I'm very pure, I don't need anything. No, this is how you analyze it, you understand it that. If there is some purity inside a person, in a natural way that person will get attracted to the message of Bhagavad Gita. Not necessarily here, anywhere, it doesn't matter. Anywhere in the world, if there is Bhagavad Gita spoken, Bhagavad Gita is discussed or Bhagavatam is discussed, you will find time and you will find an interest and you will find your own way to get there to hear that. You will find a natural attraction to the Bhagavad Gita's message, Bhagavatam's message. Unknown attraction, which you know where it is coming from, is due to that chitta shuddhi inside. So that is what Krishna is saying here. So, and that is the symptom that the person has some purity inside. Taste for spiritual life. And all these are symptoms of chitta shuddhi. Chitta shuddhi symptoms are like this. A taste for spiritual life, a attraction for Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and similarly, an interest to go to holy places, temples, and places like that, and always wants to be in the association of Mahatmas, great personalities, and and slowly you will see here that the Atma inside in within himself is it is showing its what they call it as spurti. Remember this word? Spurti. We talked about this in the Ekadasa Skanda many times. Atma has a nature what is called a spurti. Spurti means that it is showing its nature. Now what we are showing is our vasanas, our mind, our nature. Now when the Atma is showing its nature, in a natural way, you are getting attracted to all these things. Because that is Atma. Atma's very nature. Whenever discussion about Atma happens, Atma gets attracted to that. Atma wants to be there, isn't it? So it is there in the spurti form. Spurti means a ray of light. That's not the light what you talk about, a ray of knowledge that is coming from inside. That means that the mind is getting a little bit purity inside. That's a certain amount of purity inside. And so this mind is nothing but, you can see here, so that mind is nothing but Atma there present in another form there. Mind is like that, in an evaporated form, it is there. So, and when this spurti starts coming out, that with knowledge, realization, and Bhagavad Gita's message, the very strong message of Bhagavad Gita, and also along with that, Krishna's grace. It is Antaryami's grace inside, encourages us to go in the spiritual path further. Never want to leave it again in life. When that is happening, you will notice that this mind what is inside, what we now call it as the mind, it is like the drainage water. Mind is like a drainage water. Little by little, that water gets evaporated. It's like drainage water inside this mind. How it gets evaporated? Because of the sun of knowledge. Knowledge is considered to be like a sun. Mind is considered to be like drainage water. So when the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam goes inside, that knowledge of sun, it is considered to be like a sun. Jnana Surya is called. That Jnana Surya evaporates this drainage water called the mind, and it gets purified. It gets purified, and that dirty smell that was coming from the mind in the form of vasanas, which was coming out before, it starts leaving inside. And as it gets purified and is that clarified, that is that state is what Krishna is saying in that verse, Medha vi chinna samshaya. That's what that is. Medha vi chinna samshaya. No doubts anymore inside. In different ways it's spoken. Like in the Bhagavatam, you remember that verse. Vidyade hridaya grandi chidyande sarva samshaya. Kshiyande chasya karmani. Drishto evalmani ishvare. That is exactly the same thing here, spoken in another way. Vidyade hridaya grandi. What does that mean? No attachment. All attachment broken. Chidyande sarva samshaya. All doubts have gone. Kshiyande chasya karmani. All karma has gone away. Drishtvayev Atman Ishvare is only experiencing the presence of Atma inside, who is present inside as Ishvara, Atman Ishvare. So, all the doubts goes away at that time. Sometimes people ask this question. This is quite common. You can't avoid it. People will ask this. Can I ask a doubt? They will say. I ask you one doubt, they say. So, doubts is not that you have to ask and clarify. It is not like that, because physics and chemistry, you can ask doubts. You can ask doubts. Because I remember I mentioned so many times before also that one person came to Lord Buddha. So, and there were other people who were with Lord Buddha for many years. So he came up and said to Buddha, Lord Buddha, that I have some doubts to ask. So Buddha says to him, just stay with me for a year, and then after that you can ask the question, whatever you have to ask, you can ask after a year time. So he thought, that why is he saying like this? So later on he was talking to his other disciples, Buddha's disciples there. So one of them told him, look, whatever doubt you have, ask him now. After a year, you won't have any doubts. That's the problem. These doubts are like that. It has no meaning. Practically, spiritual life, this thing called doubts has no meaning. Doubts has no meaning. So you can see this. We are opening up Srimad Bhagavatam and then we have a question and answer interactive session, they call it, isn't it? What interaction can you do? It's like gossiping session it becomes. It's not anymore spiritual. It's become simply gossip then. Or speculative session. Equally, mutually speculating. Neither that, one man will ask something, some question, and the other man will say, oh, is he trying to test me? Or is he trying to measure me? Whether he knows. He's asking, does he know? I just want to find out whether he knows or not. And then if you say the answer, he'll say, where is that mentioned? In which book it's mentioned? This will be the next question. So all this is useless. This is only not worthwhile. What does it help, whether it's mentioned in the book or not? And even if you know in which book it's mentioned, how does it matter? Suppose I tell you it is in Taittiriya Upanishad. The answer is there. Are you going to go and find out? And then you will say, which Taittiriya Upanishad, which verse? Verse number. This is how inquiry going on in this world. Useless. Totally useless. It's like a police investigation it is. When the police comes to your house, if there's a crime, he will question all sorts of things, isn't it? And similarly, it becomes like that. It's waste of time. That's what Krishna is saying here. Here, chinna samshayaha. Medhavi chinna samshaya. Medha shakti should develop. Samshayam, doubt should leave you. Not that you create doubts and ask to test somebody. That's all waste of time. Medhavi chinna samshayaha. So you can, so many stories you can see that these incidents in Buddha's case is particularly interesting. Lord Buddha telling anyone who has come to him, stay with me for some time. Everything will be alright, he says, after a year you can ask. So one person said to him, this man who had come new, he says to him, when I came also, I had so many questions. But what happened to me was after a year, all the questions gone. Because he started experiencing what spiritual life is all about. All the questions have disappeared. So if you have any doubts really, ask now, not later, he says. So but Buddha is telling him, stay for a year and after that you can ask me whatever doubts you have. So this is what how things happen in spiritual life. If you understand this, then we'll become a little bit more inward looking. These doubts, where is it coming from? Because we have gone too external into the world. That's where the problems are coming from. That mind and intelligence is always overriding everything. Even if you want to be spiritual, mind comes in or intelligence comes in and starts questioning. And starts questioning everything, isn't it? So there are so many examples of this in Acharya's case also. Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, all of them had the same situation what Lord Buddha had. The same situations. And they used to say the same way they used to answer. Because Buddha has shown this, that can happen, and Acharyas also followed the same. So because you can see this particular Brahma Vidya, his nature is like that. Brahma Vidya is like that. Even in medicine, if you know, look, you can see that even if you have studied things from the books, a lot depends on with the how you spend your time with the consultants and the other senior doctors and registrars and all that, till you pick up and get that experience within yourself. Till then, it's all in the books only, is it not? In Ayurvedam, particularly, it is prominent. They don't teach Ayurvedam for the students in the olden days, for many years. He just simply has to go with the experienced physician and learn from him, diagnosing the patient. And he will teach them at the time when the patient is with them how to properly diagnose. And it is much later they study the medicines and how to apply the medicines and things like that. So without having some knowledge, what doubts can you ask somebody? So that is why they say, Buddha told them that, stay with me for some time. And after that he says to him that you should have asked these questions before, like his friend told him. And now I have nothing to ask. So because what is happening there is, as you associate with great souls like Lord Buddha and others, as you live with him, and you experience that spiritual nature of his life, that the person who was doubting inside, he has left. That's what has happened. The person who was doubting inside, he has left. So, who has got the doubt? Who is doubting actually? And because the person who is doubting is not the self. Self has no doubt. Atma has no doubt. So instead of ask that question, who is the person who has the doubt? If you ask that question, you will see he will disappear. Instead of asking the question that about your doubt, if you ask yourself, who is the person asking the who has got the doubt, then you will know that ahangaram or false ego inside who had the doubt, that ahangaram will disappear. So instead of killing the doubt, you are killing the doubter, the person who is doubting. And that process is called metha. Metha Shakti does that. Metha Shakti pulls a person to the attention of the doubter, where the doubt is coming from the person. And with that knowledge of the person, where it's coming from, the doubts goes away from inside. That is how metha Shakti works. We'll see tomorrow morning. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.